What's poppin'? It's the weekend, the Friday Drew and Mike show with Drew, Trudy, Mark, Brandon, and Zoovs all in studio, and it's kind of an early start because we have a very special guest in just minutes.
Yeah.
Jamie Kennedy.
I like Jamie.
He was great. We had him in the studio a couple times. He's super nice. And man, is he in a zillion movies?
And label what movies he's in, because it's like he'll do any movie, he'll do anything.
True. Malibu's Most Wanted when he was B-Rad cracked me up.
And that's all him.
That's him.
I mean, that's his thing.
Snoop was in that movie, I think, with him.
Oh.
Was Snoop in that?
I think so.
That's been forever.
He is at Mark Ridley's on December the 8th. One show, Jamie Kennedy. And stand-up is really the thing he always seems to keep doing. But he's got a new movie, a couple new movies coming, and he is at Mark Ridley's. So we are so pumped to have Jamie on the show today. And I will mention 1964, The Tribute. If you're anything like me, you're a huge Beatles fan. If you want to feel the magic of those historic live performances, you got to check out 1964, The Tribute. That's what the band is based on, is the Beatles' live years from 64 to 66. These guys have been around, and they do very well everywhere they go. And I know they'd sold a lot of tickets before they even came on with us. So jump in at the Flagstar Strand Theater, beautiful theater in Pontiac, flagstarstrand.com or Ticketmaster. Use promo code Drew. We're 25% off.
Hey.
Well. Ooh. Oh, boy, more pressure. A promo code. Oh boy. Get your 25% off.
Do you feel
off.
Like you're personally giving the discount?
A little bit.
I mean, 25% off. It's very nice of you, Drew. It comes out of Drew's wallet.
It's true. No, it's very generous of me to participate in this thing that I just found out about. Rolling Stone called them the best Beatles tribute on earth, and you can catch them live October 18th. That would be a week from today at the Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac. Gorgeous theater. Again, for tickets, flagstarstrand.com or Ticketmaster, promo code Drew. 25% off. That's all that matters, the promo code. And, oh, we got the School of Rock?
Yes. Yeah, they're on today, the Detroit School of Rock and Pop.
How about that?
Wait. They added Pop?
I was instructed, make sure you call it the full Detroit School of Rock
and pop.
They definitely rock.
How about that?
And they pop.
I checked them out on Facebook, and it is a little bit like the movie. There's no Jack Black,
cool, mm-hmm.
but a lot of kids playing instruments and bands, and it looks it looks like a really cool thing.
Is that where what's his name? Joey Gatos?
Yeah, Joey Gatos.
What happened to him?
A couple things.
Oh, not good.
You mean the star from the movie?
I'm sorry, I brought it up.
It's about time for him to be sticking needles in his arm, isn't it?
That's what I thought might have happened to him.
Well, there was a recent story about him.
Yeah,
is he in trouble?
Yeah, he was arrested.
But he was not directly involved with this school, so.
Oh, no, okay, of course not.
Wow.
And actually, this is a funny story because Sherry, I think it is. She and her husband that run this?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, they started the Detroit School of Rock and Pop, and she's a listener. And she said, yeah, we're interested in advertising. And we get a lot of these from people who think, you know, $25 a commercial. Or something. I said, are you sure? You know, where do you advertise? And she came back with, hey, look.
You don't use that voice.
We're either going to go on commercial radio or you guys, and we want to be on your show.
Whoa.
Wow.
In other words, we're serious.
That's a way to play some leverage, man.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. So here we go.
Way to go.
We provide exciting and motivating music lessons and experiences from Detroit's finest professional musicians. This isn't just a place where you go to play an instrument, though. They have a lot of other people, and they put them together, and they form bands.
Oh,
and
that's really cool.
I guess there's adults who are jumping into and learning instruments. I wish I had learned to play an instrument as a kid.
Yeah, me too. I could play guitar a little bit.
I mean, I'm glad I played baseball, but wouldn't I have been better off playing an instrument and putting all my energy into that, because I could still play.
I was a pianist.
Ooh.
How many lessons did you take?
Oh, years.
Really?
Years.
I do sit at the piano and do lots of work.
I think I stopped in eighth grade.
Why have
my
we
mom
never...
says, if you're going to stop, you got to do another activity.
Have you aged out of the School of Rock and Pop?
No.
I don't know. Maybe
no,
I should
no,
go.
No, no, no. They're looking for adults.
Looking for pianists?
Adults?
I can do that.
They would love to move you along and put you in a band. That are tired of practicing for no reason and want to start accomplishing their musical dreams. All ages, all skill levels. They'll take it from zero to hero.
So rock and roll!
Stop practicing, start performing, and start rocking now!
I am so good at music.
He went to the Detroit School of Rock and Pop, and we know what happened to him.
See you on Friday.
Call the Detroit School of Rock and Pop at 1-888-988-ROCK. 1-888-988-ROCK. Or visit them online at www.detroitschoolofrockandpop.com.
Matt Jennings, I can play Blackbird on guitar, and that's it. Facebook Live for one.
Play for Maz.
Someone says Layla's begging.
I don't know how old I am, no.
Layla begging for treats over there?
Yes, she is.
Did she get on camera?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
she did?
She's on my camera.
Good girl, Layla.
Camera hog.
Okay, just minutes from Jamie Kennedy. She's trying to squeeze things in here. Sorry. Facebook Live, which will be running long today. Thanks to Jamie Kennedy. Hopefully we get a lot of people on here. As he's at Mark Ridley's on December the 8th. And Facebook Live is proudly brought to you by Grow Green MI, the store where commercial growers shop. Got a staff of over 40 experts ready to help you succeed, whether you're just starting out growing at home or you have a state-licensed facility. These guys can help. Now, Randy on South Park, let's see, you celebrating
$300,000.
$300,000, and he was a little braggadocious about it, I thought. I thought it was a pretty funny episode.
Really good,
honestly. With crazy deals like bags of Ocean Force for $10, Next Light Megas for $11.50, Dairy Dew 201 and 301 for $9 a bag, and dry ice for 30 cents a pound. Whoever thought we'd be reading a commercial like this?
That's
great.
Makes
me feel good. Mm-hmm. I know everybody's excited about it. Grow Green MI on M36 in Whitmore Lake or online at growgreenmi.com. All righty. So, today it was interesting watching coverage of the Matt Lauer story, day three, and the difference between the Matt Lauer story and the Cuba Gooding story.
Oh, yeah.
Which Cuba Gooding's been accused by another woman.
Yep.
And, wow. Cuba Gooding, they're vigorously defending Cuba Gooding. And I'm reading about it today, you know, the first one, and then things sort of froze because, oh, there's another accuser. There's a videotape of him grabbing this woman's boob.
The new one or the previous
one? The old one.
Yeah, the old one, yeah.
And
then leaving right away, pretty quick afterwards.
Well, when she complains, he just bolts.
See
ya. Stumbles out, and they're saying that either A, he didn't touch her boob, which you can see it.
Touched it, yeah.
I can't, I mean, this is again where no one agrees on anything, even a videotape.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Lauer, it was interesting watching the coverage of the fact that he had spoken, which he hasn't said a word about this. And I heard a couple commentators say, you know, oh, he should just shut up. One was on CNN, one was on Fox News.
It's really interesting, too, because all you ever heard is he's trying to get back. He's trying to get back into the business. He's trying to get back in the business. He's going to do his own show, him and Charlie Rose.
I don't think so.
And Bill O'Reilly.
Now I think this is like no one wants to touch it. So what does he have to lose? And his divorce is done?
Well, yeah, he got completely wiped out in this thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's a clown. He's an absolute asshole. But is he a rapist? I think that line was more than he could bear. And you're right. He has nothing to lose now. So why shouldn't he speak out? And I thought he said some dumb things.
An anal rapist.
But I think I knew where he was coming from. We'll get back to that when we have time after Jamie. And then there was a weird local story I was reading just before we started, since it's True Crime Friday, right? Every day's True Crime Day.
Yeah.
So it is True Crime Friday. About a guy. How far are we from Jamie?
It's any time.
Oh, any time, okay.
Starting to sweat. So.
boy.
Always.
This guy's 19. He's autistic, schizophrenic, and bipolar. He's a hair trigger temper.
Really?
That's not really a good combination of things. Yeah. He's also 6 feet tall, 300 pounds. He's been living in group homes because of all his issues since the age of 9. And he's unmanageable. He assaults people in these group homes, which typically have people who have a lot of issues. Hall Financial Hotline is opening.
Yeah.
Click the link to Hall Financial on our website, fill out the online form, and they will get back to you fast about saving you a lot of money. on refis. Anyway, yeah, he gets thrown out for assaulting people, and then he murders somebody in March, punches and kicks an elderly man to death, and they find that he is incompetent to stand trial, so he's now in a group home.
Okay, good.
Wow. He's bouncing between the hospital and the group home.
Nothing bad's going to happen there.
Mom hopes he can come home, so it's crazy.
Oh, that's good.
Nothing bad's going to happen.
Happy ending.
how exciting it is to have Jamie Kennedy, who is at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, December the 8th, and he's here with us. So you'll go out and buy tickets and fill the house, which you would have done anyway. Hey, Jamie.
What's up, man?
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
We're great. Do you actually remember coming in our studio?
Oh, yeah.
Fake.
We went to Calgary. It was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, right?
I'm just trying to decide if I believe Jamie.
No,
it wasn't 5 or 6 years ago, because I remember when you came in. It was December 2010, I believe.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Oh, it's 2010. It's about 9 years ago. Yeah.
And I think you came in before that too, didn't he, Mark?
He's been in twice. Yeah. Which he remembers both of them clear.
One day you really just rolled out of bed and wandered in.
Well, I got to tell you, that's kind of like my life. I'm often rolling out of bed, wandering in, and I appreciate you guys having a civilized time to call. I mean, it's awesome. I hate 5 a.m. Jesus, who can do anything at that time?
It's funny. I was prepping, and I was watching him do an interview, I think on like Huntsville, Alabama TV, which a lot of credit for you for doing the interview, too, which says a lot. But yeah, you just got off a plane and walked in there, and you had shorts on, and it's like you never see a guy in shorts on TV. It was really funny. I don't know. You made fun of your pasty white legs.
Yeah, man. Those early morning news shows are really great to sell comedy tickets. Come on, you can't say anything.
That's right, the weather
guy's asking you questions about what impressions you do.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Oh, I know, when you roll into a studio in Huntsville, Alabama to promote a local show, there's something amusing about that Jamie Kennedy will still hustle his shows, even in Huntsville, Alabama. What are you thinking when you go in there, just that this will be over in 10 minutes, or...?
Look, you know, I'm a team player, and, you know, it's part of the gig. And when you do the gig, you got to know the rules. And it's a really great club they have. And they're like, look, man, we want you to come down, but you got to help promote it. And to me, you know, it's, traditional media is a little tougher for us because people are so online. But, you know, I like to go in and get it done. It's hard. It's hard to do the local AM, you know, news show, because you can't say anything. So, yeah, I'd like to get it done.
And to that point, when we knew we were having you on, the first thing I thought is, well, Jamie's a good person to talk about regarding canceled culture. And then I saw they have a new special called Can I Say That, which I assume is all about that, what is allowed to be said in comedy, which should be everything, really, and what isn't allowed. Is that what the special's about?
Yeah, a lot of it is. It's actually some of it's about what I've been doing and where I've been and stuff and some of my life. But then it gets into it. And my next episode will be, my next special will be much more than that. But, I mean, listen, I don't want to be, you know, this guy that keeps saying like everyone is saying and stuff like that. But it is good and it's bad. And I figured that out last night. It's that everybody has a voice, right? Everybody has a voice.
But everyone shouldn't have a voice.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, here's what it is. Like, you're a charming person, or if you can sing, you can dance, you can act or whatever, or you're a good entrepreneur, whatever. You're too busy doing that stuff to learn how to type. But if, like, you're an introverted person and you don't have any friends, you learn how to type. And I feel like this whole thing is started by typists.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about that theory. Like, people who are good at basketball aren't typists. Yeah. You know, people who can shoot a hockey puck aren't typists.
Yeah.
It's typists. And typists are like, hey, I don't like that.
Well, Jamie,
it's like, stop typing.
I know. Going back to Heckled, which I really loved. I loved Heckled. And I talked about it. I know we brought it up. And I know you remember this because you enjoyed our appearance so much when you came in. But
in the early aughts.
Yes. Yeah. I really thought it was ahead of its time looking back on it now, because you were talking about these people, for example, well, not only hecklers at the shows, but people that write reviews because they want to be the star. The review is the star, not what they're reviewing. And so they say these horrific things like, didn't they say something about your father should have worn a condom or something? I mean, just horrible, unbelievable reviews. And that's kind of part of how we got here, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I did one, and the guy said, "Why don't you make like a Kennedy and die young?" Which is a good heckle.
That's a good joke. Yeah,
a rare good one.
That's a good. But no, it's basically like this. It's like, you know, and Dice talked about it. Dice said it, and the thing, he's like, dude, in the '80s, people would say some shit, and that dude would be so far in the black part of the theater, you couldn't even see him. You say something back, and it's done. Now people say shit, get out of their seat, come on stage, want to fight, sue you after. It's like there's an emboldenment, which, listen, I believe everybody should have confidence, but there's also with that emboldenment comes massive disrespect. It's like it's Heckler says it. I mean, Patton Oswalt said it. It's like it used to be like a reverence for people that could do things. Now it's like not just why them, but fuck them. I can do it better. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. This is weird. And I could go deeper into it, but we don't have the time. But it has to do
with we have time, Jamie. Are you saying you don't have time? I thought we were all tight from our previous appearances and stuff.
I have time. It comes from the tools of being able to communicate. So you can communicate your thoughts on the Twitter, Instagram, all of this stuff. I mean, dude, girls who have 500,000 followers because they bend over and pick up doggy poo and hold a sit tea packet are now revered.
Yeah.
You know,
that's called that's thirst trapping. You know, this is a big there's a big disconnect between feminist culture and the women. I always tell you guys that. I tell the women that. Women, get your thoughts, not your thoughts, your thoughts in order, because they're screwing up your movement.
You know, I love that you brought that up, because I was doing my prep for you, because you're one of our favorite guests.
Really?
Yeah, we do.
Wow, I appreciate it.
And I'm reading about your struggles when you moved to L.A. and you're working at Red Lobster, and, you know, you're pretending you have an agent. What was his name? Marty Power?
Marty Power, yes.
Did Marty Power actually book stuff successfully?
Marty Power was a guy. I kind of tried to do the voice now. It might be hard. I just had a bagel, but he would talk like this. He would say, I got a young kid here. I got to sell myself like that. And you have to sell. When you sold stuff, you compared it, you know. So I said, I got a kid here. A cross between Robbie Benson and James Woods. That was big in the early 90s. He booked me. He got me in the rooms, and then I took care of it from there. But he got me in the rooms. People believed he was real.
That's cool.
And so he was able to get me in.
My point was that as much as you struggled, and I'm sure it all seems worth it now, it's probably fun looking back on it. If you were 18 or 17 now, do you think you would be trying to be a YouTube star? I mean, doesn't it seem so easy now, in a way? Easier?
Oh, let me think about that answer.
I mean, I hate to introduce you to a YouTube star. That's really
cool.
Hold
on. Is it easier because everyone's trying to do it? So if everybody can, if everyone's special, no one's special, right?
Right.
In a way, yeah.
So it's like, I mean, in a way, you have all the tools, right? I feel like there's something with like getting attention, and getting attention is the new talent.
You're right. Yeah, Bad you know, Baby, Jake Paul. What's the other Paul? The two brothers.
Getting attention is the new talent, and I don't hate on it. I think whatever, you know, get in where you fit in. But I was raised at it. I mean, look, if I was starting my comedy career now, yeah, I would have all that stuff, and I would use it to my advantage to try to do the legitimate things. But I would still try to do stand up in clubs. I would still try to audition for movies. I would still try to do all those things.
Yeah,
and
you have to wonder if there's much great writing going on among these people who are getting all this attention. It seems like it's really, and even with musicians, a lot of these stars, it's like it's their personality. It's not even their music.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's I don't know, like, but you have famous people in all types. I mean, you got famous people on like, you know, garage flippers or, you know, guest house redoers. I mean, these people are on the cover of People magazine. Yeah. And it's like, so it's just all about, you know, there's a lot of like selling and whatever's getting the clicks and all that. But I mean, that doesn't have to do with great music. A great band is going to be a great band, and you know, they're going to use stuff to sell, but they're still going to have to be great. You know, I mean, the Kings of Leon don't care about that. You know, they're still great.
That's true. No, and they are great. I wanted to ask you about your new movie, because Trudy and I were talking about it upstairs, and I thought, Trudy, didn't you say that Jamie's in a movie with Brad Pitt?
Ad Astra.
And Brad's going to space to find his father?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that sounds really weird. Why is his father in space?
Based on a true story.
Yeah. Oh, a true story.
Jamie, can you help me out?
Listen,
and I have to tell you, I predicted you were in Mission Control.
if humans are going to send anybody to Brad to outer space to be the face of the human race, I think BP is the way to go.
BP.
Brad goes to different places in space, and he ends up on Mars for a minute. This is true. And I'm one of the people that he encounters. And Mars, let's just say, is a backwards place. That's all I can say. So it makes sense that I'm there.
Oh.
It's dark.
Really?
The movie's really, I haven't seen it yet, but the script was amazing.
Is that what you were working on before you got back home to do this interview?
No, that movie's already out. Yeah. I did that like a year and a half ago. I was doing another movie just finished last night. Bruce Dern, Kathy Moriarty, Taryn Manning, and that was like a little comedy.
Wow, Bruce
That's
Dern.
Come out next year. So Bruce Dern, yeah. The OG.
How much time did you spend filming with Brad, and how many scenes did you have with Brad? And does that ever enter your mind? Like, I mean, he's a pretty big star, and you've been with other stars. Is he any different?
Yeah, he's very different. I mean, he's one of the last remaining icons.
Does he know it? Like, does he?
I mean, I don't know, but he's as cool as anyone. He's cooler than mostly anybody I ever met. It's so just chill and down to earth, and he's just the man.
Yeah. Could you call him right now and hang out with him?
No, I could not.
Oh. And then he knows it.
I would not want to get in trouble.
Jamie, do you feel you would be a quick cut to that list of people and call him and hang out with him, or do you think you're close to making the cut?
Say it again.
Brad, as far as calling Brad Pitt to hang out, do you feel like you're an easy cut, or, I mean, talking about cuts like in sports, or, yeah, could you almost make the cut? Are you close?
I don't know, man. Listen, if Brad needs me to do some DoorDash or some Postmates,
DoorDash,
I'll start there. You know, maybe bring him some condiments, you know, cutlery, whatever he needs, and then maybe I can work my way in.
Well, that'd be a hilarious phone call to listen in on if there was, for some reason, for Jamie to actually try it. But, you know, I wanted to ask you this right out of the box, but I didn't because it sounds like an obnoxious question, but it really isn't. When you came in last time in that memorable visit, you were dating Jennifer Love Hewitt, and we were so excited
about
that. Well,
you guys, people love to bring this one up. Yeah. This is like 83 girlfriends ago. Go ahead.
I know, but you were dating her at the time, and we were really excited, and you were pretty cool about it, but... I guess that didn't go to the finish line because I was.
Could you call her up right now and hang out?
Yeah, could you call her up right now and hang out?
She's got a couple of babies with a new guy, so I'd have to like get her when the new guy. You know, make sure she picks up the phone and not the new guy.
the new guy.
You know, but I mean, listen. If she was at a coffee bean and I was with you guys, or a Starbucks, and she was in the corner. Like, you know, having like a little coffee and you guys are like, yo, go bump into her. I could bump into her naturally and act like I didn't see her. And be like, oh, hey, have you met my friends? They're the radio guys. They're just out here. We're doing radio together. You know, I could do that. Yeah, this guy loves you.
You mentioned the new guy. It sounded a little disparaging. Would you say you're slightly jealous of the new guy?
No. Really, that was a wonderful, great time, and, you know, people, you said it didn't go to the finish line. How long do you expect people to be together now? Jeez, that was a year and 4 months. That's like 30 years in Hollywood, man.
All right,
that was successful.
It depends on what the finish line is, I guess. I mean, I think you got a couple finish lines, probably.
I mean, there's, finish line keeps changing, doesn't it? Keeps getting
yeah, they keep moving
pushed
it
back.
It sounds all good.
We had a good run. We did like a year and a half of courses in a college, and then we transferred universities.
Cool.
Could you, since we're on this idea of calling these people and hanging out with them, how about...
Jesus, you guys are real star effort. My God.
How about George Clooney? Because you're in Three Kings with him.
Yeah.
You know what? I was just Hoops. In Italy, and George was, he's about an hour away from where I was. Listen, I'll tell you this. If George is at a coffee shop, and I scooted by on my scooter, I go, George, what's up, dude? He might not recognize me at first. I look a little different. I said, what's up, Jamie Kennedy? He would give me a hug. Brad would give me a hug, too. And I think J-Love would give me a hug. But J-Love, you know, might think I'm, like, stalking her.
Would Eddie Murphy give you a hug?
Eddie, I don't know. I would like to hug Eddie, but maybe not. I don't know. He's got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Jamie is almost the Kevin Bacon game. You know the Kevin Bacon
game,
right? Jamie, you could
by
almost...
By the way, Bacon is my hero, dude. If Bacon is on every part of your sandwich in different meals, I'm fine to be Bacon.
What if his brother's with it? Things.
You could almost be the Jamie Kennedy game because you're almost as connected to as many. You've been in so many things.
I mean, look at just Enemy of the State alone. You got Will Smith,
movie.
Gene Hackman, John Voight, Barry Pepper. You got all Jack Black, all those guys. I love that flick.
Yeah, dude, I have Bacon-bitted a lot. Like, I was thinking about that the other day. I have, like, I wanted to be, like, a big, like, my own star, and, like, I am a star, I'm a thing, like, people go, oh, it's Jamie Kennedy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think, the pressure of me not having to be a star almost feels better, and I think you'll go longer, and, like, last night I was at a premiere of a movie, Trick, and it's Omar Epps, and it's Tom Atkins, and it was me, and I was the third billing in it, and it's a little horror movie, and it's really good. I just think, like, if I pop in, I'm good in doses. You know what I mean? Oh, there's the Bacon Jamie again. You know, it's a little bit,
but you can carry
side of Jamie Bacon.
Look at Malibu's Most Wanted, Trudy's favorite.
Oh my God, I love that.
Oh,
B-Rad.
I love Malibese. Malibese had a lot of health. There was a good amount of good people. But yeah, I love it. Listen, I'm down to star in movies, but sometimes if I don't get them, I'm fine being third or fourth lead. You know.
Amen. Hey, by the way, I heard you interviewed, quickly mentioned, December 8th, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle for Jamie Kennedy.
Yes.
I was listening to another interview where you were talking about Malibu's Most Wanted, and you said that you own 9% of the movie. And you went on to say that it cost $16 million to make the movie. It had made $80 million at that time, and somehow it was still in the red. You hadn't made anything off your 9%.
$23 million in the back. By the way, you guys did. This is the type of ish that, in like 5 years, when they find bad stuff about me, it'll be through your interview. You guys dig up everything. My God. Yeah, dude, that's Hollywood accounting. I mean, like, because I was thinking about it. Like, the movie made about $81 million in all forms of media, and it only cost $14 million to make, and the kit made more than $20 million in marketing. So that is 30.
Still leaves 42.
$6 million. Whatever.
30, 40, whatever.
It's probably broke even, but it's on TV every day. So, and I know there's some foreign there. So,
it's
a longer conversation, but the easiest thing to tell you is that let's say you're a studio, right? I'm going to give you good piece of little math right here.
Okay.
So let's say there's 10 movies, and one of them's Harry Potter, and one of them's Malibu's Most Wanted. And the marketing budget for that year for movies is $500 million. Right? Let's say that. So that means everyone gets a $50 million marketing budget.
Wow.
And let's say your marketing budget for your movie was only 10, they equate you $40 million. So I'm paying for Harry Potter. But you know Harry Potter probably got $100 million. And I got 10.
Okay,
but
Jamie.
How do you do that?
Hollywood accounting has always been crazy, and I get that. But then somebody's making more on Harry Potter. The guy that has 9% of that, he's making more than he should. Or are they ripping him off some other way?
Who knows? All I have to say is my tushy hurts. And then you go to the next one.
Any chance that you'll get a forensic accountant to dig into Malibu's Most Wanted and force him to pony up?
I mean, I don't know. If we could do a sequel, I'll be fine. People are talking about a sequel, and I was wondering how it would work.
Oh,
but
that'd be excellent.
They are saying that.
You run for president. That's what you do.
Right? That's a good idea.
It is time.
How crazy is it that Malibu's Most Wanted is predictive?
Yeah,
right.
It is.
Like, Bill Gluckman is not that crazy of a candidate now.
Not at all.
No, people love that movie. Jamie Kennedy, so pumped that you were able to give us a call today and spend some time. Mark Ridley, December the 8th. And who knows, maybe we'll talk to you before then.
Man, I'd love to, you guys.
That'd be great,
man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Yeah. I'll try to bring, you know, some famous girlfriend next time.
Yeah.
So you guys,
call up Clooney.
I can break up with her, and you guys can ask me questions about her 3 years from now.
Is there a current famous girlfriend?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment, okay.
But, you know, I'm working on it.
Well, hey, we'd love to have you in anytime, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Serious. You're welcome, Jamie. No,
sounded
I'm
excited.
I'm down. All right. I'm all down right, cool. to have it.
Okay.
We're down too.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay. Let's
thanks,
do it.
Jamie.
All right.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate
Jamie.
You guys. Thank you for doing all that research too.
You're welcome. We'll see you at Mark's.
All right. You guys gonna come out?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I wanna come.
Be there, yeah.
For
come
sure.
Come out, man. For real.
Yeah, we will.
Seriously,
you got
we'll
it.
Take pictures.
All right.
Okay,
all
Jamie. Right. We'll see
thank you. Thank you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Oh, Jamie Kennedy, owner comedy guy. He made a movie called Heckler. It's a very good movie. Yes, it is.
I wonder if he knows about this song.
He's, oh, so he's still there.
No. Did you get his phone number, Randy?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah? Really?
About everything. What kind of society are we living in?
Wow, it's heavy.
Jamie Kennedy, you're not just a silly comedy guy. Jamie Kennedy, you're a deep-thinking philosophy man.
I was just slightly distracted by all the Facebook people saying, oh, another no. interview, Dreamweaver!
I think
oh,
they're just
saying
yeah,
that.
They're just
I know,
rubbing that in. But,
I knew.
But, you know, the one thing I wanted to ask him about, and then I didn't want to be a fangirl, you know, like Chris Farley, that, do you remember that one time you did the thing with Bob Saget? Because that,
oh, the Saget
I love
song,
that
yeah.
bit. That
remember having the stew?
Oh, the guy? Yeah. Wait, Stone. What was that? What
Bob
was the song?
Saget, the Saget. Illest mother fucker in a cardigan sweater. I can say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played it, didn't we?
Bob
yeah,
Saget,
yeah.
Rolling
with Bob Saget.
Rolling with Bob Saget. I know, that was a silly, good. Fun song.
It was a really good, because, and the video was even better. He's.
Yeah, it was good. Well, you should play it. I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Let me see a little bit. Yeah. Our friends and studio sponsors at Zod, Ford, and Holly are at it again, bringing ridiculous deals as Trudy reaches for a Hershey bar. I saw that out of the corner of my eye.
I realized Facebook Live is still going on, and so I
it's over.
My hand.
It's over, Trudy.
Yeah. Well, Zoobs always switches the camera on me when I'm eating something or doing something unflattering constantly.
That's what kids are for.
No, that's exactly.
Even big kids. Let's see. Zod, Ford, and Holly, they're at it again, bringing ridiculous deals to Drew and Mike fans. Pumped to tell you, but during Zod Ford's fall clearance event, they have 4 new trucks and SUV models you can lease below $100 a month. Yes, during Zod's Ford's fall clearance event, you can lease a new 19 Ford EcoSport, Escape, Edge, or F-150, all below $100 a month. These are not watered-down rides. These are bad boys loaded with all the creature comforts you're looking for. See details in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And my man, Luke Nowacki. Call Luke Nowacki for help with your finances at 248-663-4748. Regardless of what you're invested in, the economy is... It's been a bear market for... What, almost 11 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little tricky to negotiate this. Or if you're looking to get in the market because you've got plans, like you just got married, or you just had your second child, and you're thinking about college, and how are we going to do this? And sometimes it helps to have an outsider. Actually, I don't know many successful investors who don't have help from someone, if nothing else, a mentor.
Yeah.
So people like Brandon, who put it off and put it off and put it off for inexplicable reasons. Says he doesn't have an hour. I know he wants to. I know he wants to see Luke. I think he's.
I explained it yesterday.
I think you're nervous about it for some reason.
I'm really not. I'm really not. I'm just having some issues that I have to take care of.
Yes, I don't know why those preclude seeing Luke, but I think the same way, Brandon. When I have something I have to deal
can only
with,
handle, I can only handle one big thing at a time.
That's kind of how I am.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I get it. So let those 401ks wander around and bring them together one of these days. Call Luke at 248-663-4748. You can email Luke if you want to ask a question or two and see if it's worth your and his time. L. Nowacki at PinnacleWealthStrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services off the Reliance Associates Incorporated member, FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services, reference here, independent of Reliance Associates Incorporated. Oof. I was excited to have Jamie on today. He's one of those guys.
Good.
He's always
he delivers,
good.
Man. Yeah.
He is. Some people, I think, and probably a lot of people in his field, they know they're supposed to deliver or they take responsibility for delivering.
Yeah.
And other people, it's like they're doing you a big favor.
Yeah.
And he is not one of those people. Which is a big plus.
If someone shows up to do in-studio interviews, they're genuine. They're typically a very good person. Or they want to do that. They want to talk about their stuff. Because it takes some effort.
Oh, yeah. Especially.
Any in-studio guests that was really. Well, there's one.
I get really frustrated with comedians that. Don't necessarily want to take one for the team who just see it as like,
yeah.
Hey, this is wild. I'll go in there and I'll just
do my material,
do whatever. Or they just, you know, they don't really have any plan at all. They're just there and you're lucky to have them. Or they think you're interviewing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, a lot of comedians, they're not really known well enough to be interviewed.
You had some of those in Phoenix, though, right?
Yeah. We used to get some really good people in Phoenix, but it was just kind of a crapshoot. Yeah, David Spade was a great guest. He was always great.
And that was prior to him going to SNL, so.
Yeah.
Oh, when he's crying.
Well, that's before he's crying, too. It's funny, I saw Lights Out last night.
Lights Out. Oh, his show?
Yeah. Is anybody watching it besides me?
No.
I've caught a couple clips, and to tell you the truth, I really liked what I saw.
Who was on, do you know, when you saw it?
Well, I obviously saw the one with, it's at Jim...
Jim Jefferies
and Bill Burr. There was another one I saw, and I just can't remember what it was.
Okay, what show is Brad Garrett and Leighton Meester on?
There's Everyone another... Loves Raymond?
She was on Brad the Gossip Garrett Girl.
I think they're on a show. Oh, maybe they aren't on a show together.
I have no
For
idea.
Some reason, I thought they were on a show together. She had nothing to say at all. I'm not even sure why she was on.
She looks pretty.
Are they on the same show? Maybe they're completely unrelated. There was two dudes, and one of them was...
The Orville?
Is that what it is?
Single parents, maybe?
Is Brad Garrett a stand-up? I feel like an ass.
I think he started that way.
Okay.
Yeah,
because he was kind of quick, but...
It's single parents with Taron Killam, Brad Garrett, Leighton
okay.
Meester.
Sounds great.
Here's what's really hard. Okay, Spade is hilarious. I love him. Any of the bits they do, like last night they had his mother... reviewing the show, which moms are
That's
always
funny.
Great.
Yeah.
And she was funny and cute and all that.
And you've seen her in the past, too.
I have. I saw her talking to her crying son. I bet he just loves that we talk about this.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. So, yeah, that was good. And he does a lot of bits, pre-recorded bits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're usually really good. But as far as having three... people just riffing every night. The problem is you can't get three good people or good chemistry with three people every night. It's just not possible. I think that show, if it was on once a week, it would be a fantastic
show. I didn't know it was every night. It's every night.
It's three different people. I'm pretty sure. Every time I've turned it on, it's three different people. And when he started out, it was a lot of people like his kind of people. And now I think they're running a little short.
Why would he want to do a show that's every night? That's
five nights a week.
That's crazy.
It's only a half hour, though.
I still think that's nuts.
No, I know. It's...
You know, it's interesting.
As I was watching last night, I was thinking, is he glad he's doing this? Or is this eating up his entire life?
Did you listen to the Conan podcast with Letterman?
I didn't.
Because they talk about that grind of doing it five nights a week. And how you just kind of lose focus. You don't even realize what you did on the show when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just about churning out the next one. And the point being is that it's kind of a young man's game. Like, after doing it for so long, I think they use the example of Conan was talking about Johnny Carson and how in the beginning he loved, you know, trading barbs and quips with, you know, the people right when he started. You know, I forget the example he used, but, you know, Jack Parr, whoever the big comedians were when he first started. And Conan felt the same way. And then you realize that you're interviewing somebody from One Tree Hill and you don't know what it is.
I know.
And how there's just so much of that now and it kind of passes them by. and they're very, both of those guys are very perceptive of like their age and what they know and what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just really fascinating. It's like, so why would Spade...
You mean just being out of it as you get older?
Yeah. Like, they both feel they should... Letterman said he felt like he should have stepped aside years before he did.
Yeah, that... I felt bad about that because he's so self-deprecating for a person as brilliant as he is.
He thinks less of his show than anyone that I know of. And honestly, when he went out, I was enjoying the hell out of his show. Now, you know, I'm not the demo that they're dying to reach, but I don't know. I sometimes I'm just stunned that more people, and people loved it. He's revered, and in the business, he's considered the best, I think. I mean, by people who sort of are in the know.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Jay Leno had higher ratings, I can't think of anyone who would say Jay Leno was better.
They kind of hit on the whole point, too, of too many voices and too many shows.
Mm-hmm.
And how that used to just be, you know, they would set the taste of what was going on, and their opinions mattered. And now there's just, you know, 500 late-night shows.
Yeah, well, but, you know, I don't watch... I watch Kimmel. I narrow it down. I think you have to.
Yeah.
But then, I would watch Jim Jefferies every night if I weren't too cheap to get Comedy Central.
Yeah, and then you have you have Spade doing one every night, and you have John Oliver once a week.
That's it.
You have
the
lady, what's her name? Samantha Bee.
Jimmy Fallon.
Samantha Bee once a week.
Yeah, and she calls Ivanka Trump a cunt, and, you know, we're watching Samantha Bee for 48 hours.
And now you have the who's the guy? Seth Meyers. Now there's a show on after Seth Meyers.
Oh, yeah. Who's on after Seth Meyers? Is it a girl?
A YouTuber.
Female?
Not Last Call with Carson Daly.
A YouTuber.
See, I screen that.
You left out Colbert.
That's too much
Colbert,
noise.
Yeah.
So you have to put your screen up.
Corden.
Filter.
And then you have,
Corden. I forgot about Corden.
You have The Daily Show.
Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of The Daily Show anymore.
I watch it occasionally.
It's terrible.
I'm sometimes not.
It's not funny.
I'm surprised
sometimes
that it's still on.
No, Trudy, it's not.
Like that.
It's not
People
funny.
Still watch it, apparently?
I guess.
Every 50th show.
When I watch that show, I just assume that I'm just too old to get it. It must be me, because it's on. It's been on for a long time with this guy. Somebody must be laughing.
The best way to go through some of these shows is just to streamline the monologue part. Because I don't have any interest in any of his guests.
No, I agree. But every time I see a clip, because...
The media loves that show.
They love showing clips
of
it.
They play clips of it all the time, and I'm like, why? It's sort of like the WNBA. Why are they showing clips of this show?
You know what it is? You can tell. You know what the joke is that's coming.
Yeah. You can see it
a mile
away.
There's never a twist or a turn in the joke. The punchline just falls flat because of that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not
a fan.
I've interviewed him, and I thought that he was...
I thought
that he was a pretty good interview.
He's fascinating in interviews because of his past, Trevor Noah, and his history.
Yeah.
I just don't like him on The Daily Show.
I'm not sure I'm even fascinated by his past. I don't know what it is. Since we're talking about funny people, somebody sent me something from Sam Kinison today that was actually the prelude to Captain Kangaroo, Mr. Green Jeans.
Oh.
And I could probably listen to Sam for 2 days and come up with 20 things I thought were exceptional. But he's talking about, and this is what, I mean, nobody does this. He's talking about how he made headlines by missing the Joan Rivers show.
Yeah.
He just didn't show as a no-show. Mm-hmm. And Joan made a big deal about it. And so he's going on about how, six people missed me. You know, I'll send them all an apology letter, blah, blah, blah. And then he ends up admitting that he would bang Joan Rivers, but he would regret it later. And then he says, hell, I banged Penny Marshall.
Really?
And says he snorted coke off her tit.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Which would have been in 92, I guess. But, I mean, who does that?
I have so many questions about that. Wouldn't that be like a funny sex act? Because both of the people involved are somewhat funny.
Yeah, I could see them liking each other. But he was kind of saying that, you know, on an off day, an off night, he even banged Penny Marshall. I suspect he doesn't like her anymore, or he didn't like her anymore, if he's revealed that.
Right, they're both dead. But
plus snorting coke off her tit.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably not what she wanted out there at that time.
No.
Just guessing. But
so she was maybe probably, you know, doing blow during Laverne and Shirley.
Well, in 92, she was directing The League of Her Own.
Yeah, she would have been in her, what, 40s? Or, I don't know. I could see it.
Wow.
Made sense to me. Mm. Sort of. Mm. Trudy, can you... We have Dr. Roche today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it's...
It's not in here for some reason.
It's Hot Girl October.
It is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, tell me about it, please.
Guys, too. Yes. Yeah, you can look really sexy in your sexy Halloween costumes, like...
Like an inflatable unicorn?
Oh, you could, yeah. And then underneath just everything. Be cut as hell.
Yeah, or nude.
Yeah, because what? You could get body tights for that I Dream of Genie costume or the six-pack abs for dudes. Autumn augmentation at Dr. Roche's, the saline breast implants for $3,500. They really fill out a costume and other clothes. Or put forward a fresher face with BBL. The October special is 3 corrective treatments, 3 photo revelation treatments for just $1,000. Regular $2,325. One syringe of Restylane, get 100 off the second syringe. Be a sexy witch with Botox or Dysport. 2 areas, get the third area free in Zorona. For a totally non-invasive way to decrease cellulite or upgrade to the Virju laser that firms and tightens arms, necks, all the like wiggly things. Ask about them all.
Looks like you're keeping your bod pretty tight.
See even more options at drroche.com, DRROCHE.com, and call for a consultation at 248-338-1110.
No, it was weird, you know, talking about all these late night hosts.
Yeah.
And all these comedians and just all these names to keep up with. There's so many stars now. And that's part of the reason it makes me a little bit crazy when, you know, people say, you mispronounced this person's name. And it's like, oh, my God, there's so many. I mean,
yeah.
I'm supposed to know who Jake Paul is.
Ugh.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't really need to know him. But, I mean, he's taking up space in my head, him and his stupid brother. And... I go through the podcast charts. I'm like, you know, oh, who's that of us? Who are we beating? You know, so and so. And I see these names and I go, oh my God, who is that? And then you see, oh, this is just one of the, you know, really hot stand ups out there right now. You know, he's 28 years old and he and his fellow stand up are doing this podcast and, you know.
How come chicks are into this dude anyway?
Being that age and being a hot stand up, yeah, you probably should do pretty well on a podcast. If
who
it's
was
good.
It? Remember the name?
I mean, there's just multiple shows that I could not
who's
tell
that
you.
Dude?
It's like that show in San Francisco. Now, San Francisco is the fourth biggest radio market. Sarah and Chet or whatever.
That's a market where NPR does really well.
We're a little more progressive station. And ahead of the curve here in San Francisco.
Yeah. I'm sure it does. We were ahead of them last I checked, by the way. hey, we're number 104 right now.
All right. Woohoo.
That is the highest we've been in a while. We're ahead of, we're one slot ahead of Kevin and Bean.
Maybe we'll get a Kennedy bump, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe.
Could, never heard of him next.
Sarah and Vinny are 110.
Never heard of him next.
Let's see. Hey, we're ahead of Dennis Miller. He's 117.
Never heard of him next.
The Woody Show is number 125. That's a syndicated show. Rick and Bubba, who claim to have 3 million listeners a week.
I will not listen to any show with a Bubba in it. No Bubba.
That's his given name, though, Trudy. You know,
okay. Smart guy, that Rick.
WMMR, Preston and Steve, the hotshot show in our old company.
Yeah.
Ahead of them?
They're not a bad show.
No, they're okay.
Wait, they were the hotshot show?
They're still there.
Philly, yeah.
Oh, that's the one they used to go, oh, it used to be more like Preston and Steve.
They didn't really say that. They didn't.
Somebody said it to me.
Oh, somebody said it to you?
What? Really? Who said it?
Write it down. Write it down. Write it down.
Who the fuck is that?
Oh, by the way, did you see WRF win the Marconi Awards? The best radio station.
That's great. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, there were a lot of pictures.
You earned it.
Online of, you know, the staff.
Well, that's nice.
I guess we just weren't that good.
Well, good for you.
Our staff wasn't good enough to be the best radio station.
Good for you.
And, you know, do you know WCSX? Weren't they named the best classic rock station in the country?
Were they really?
Yeah, they didn't they? Look it up. I think they won an award like a month ago.
Oh, good for you.
So, you know, I thought there was some pretty good radio in that building when we were in there. But apparently it's even better now. Best in the country.
And you know the focus in that building is going to be, what about you, Bounce? What did you win?
Oh, yeah.
Did they win?
Well, they banned Kanye West.
Oh, that's true.
They won the...
Although, is that band still going on since that show doesn't exist anymore?
No, I think they were playing them then anyway.
Kanye got that show off the air.
It wasn't a Universal band. The other shows played it besides the morning show. It confused people.
Well, you hear about slavery for 400 years? For 400 years? That sounds like a choice.
The funny thing is people were telling on them to us.
I know. As if we had any say.
That reminds me of... the silliest, one of the funniest things. I don't know. There's a lot of things that are so silly they're making me laugh.
Oh, why won't anyone give me an award?
Okay, the Atlanta Braves were in the playoffs against St. Louis. They got crushed in Game 5, so they're out. But they were drawing some very enthusiastic crowds who were tomahawk chopping away. Mm-hmm. And there's a reliever for the Cardinals who is a Native American.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't. He found this very disagreeable. So they said... okay, when he's in the game, we're not going to do the tomahawk chop.
He's still there.
And then they did it.
If he's in the dugout, it's fine. But if he's pitching in the game, it is wrong to do the tomahawk chop.
Ugh. Is he like a 32nd Native American or,
you know 16th? I don't know because I saw his name and I thought... oh,
what's his name?
Ryan Helsey.
What is his name got to be?
Well, I don't know.
Or to be legit. It's,
Underfoot.
Sitting in tree or...
sitting in tree.
Little Feather.
Warming up.
Running Bear.
I don't know what I was expecting.
He doesn't look like Nathan Phillips or anything like that. He looks like the typical white baseball player.
I want him DNA tested. I want a forensic accountant to find out. Wouldn't that be funny if everyone was ceasing to do the tomahawk chop when he started a game for, pitches a complete game, no tomahawk chop, and then you find out he's not Native American. And all those people were deprived of doing the tomahawk chop.
Their freedom to tomahawk chop.
He did attend a Native American boarding school, so I don't know what that means.
That doesn't mean he's Native American. Did they do a DNA test to let him in?
I thought you would have to be Native American to be in it.
Well, all I know is when they go through...
can't anybody with money get into anything they want?
I read about I can't remember which casino it was, but they had a lot of people who were claiming a piece of profits because they were in that tribe.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so they actually had a forensic accountant or something like it go through, and they threw quite a few people off the rolls.
Was one Elizabeth Warren?
No, I don't believe she was involved in that. But, it's funny, when I was watching Florida State was on TV... Atlanta Braves, and you see people do tomahawk chopping away.
It is amazing they still do it.
And they're doing it. They turn out the lights, and they do it with their phones, and it's a big deal. And then when the Covington kids did the tomahawk chop, a bunch of 16-year-old kids, oh, my God! These terrible, racist, horrible kids!
Well, I think we know why now, because of the Ryan Helsley thing. You can't do it at a Native American.
If Nathan Phillips had not drummed up to...
if he wasn't there, then it'd be fine. Up.
Yes.
So his maternal grandfather is a full-blooded Cherokee. So, okay.
I mean, do we know that? Can we exhume him and do a DNA test?
Is it worth it?
Then? I mean, before...
is it
worth it? Well, Mark, they got to avoid the chop when he's in the game. That policy is going to be in effect next year.
What about all these people that love doing the chop?
Exactly.
Do the Cleveland Indians fans still do it?
They're never really choppers. They never really did it.
The Chiefs do.
Chief Wahoo is...
oh, the Chiefs do?
They do?
I think the Chiefs do.
Well, we're ahead of Amy Schumer.
Wow.
Three girls, one Keith.
One Queef?
One Keith. Three girls and one Keith. Sorry, that's her show.
My bad.
We're ahead of Bob and Sherry.
I heard that wrong. Sorry.
I got it.
Okay, Pete and Sebastian. I did not know who Pete and Sebastian were.
Oh, they sound really dumb.
I know. It sounds like a bad radio show, but...
okay. It sounds highbrow.
Yeah, it does. And because of Sabo's name. And also, I think they're wearing turtlenecks in the picture.
What?
No, they don't look.
No.
Two A-list comedians, Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
He's like the hottest stand-up around.
I knew that name when I saw it. Get together once a week to create a tight comedy radio show with stories and comedy bits.
Do you think he's funny, Sebastian Maniscalco?
Okay, he's pretty clean.
Yeah,
it's a lot of Italian humor, like because he's obviously Italian. And
I listen,
so it doesn't really appeal to me, but
I listened to about 10 minutes and I was dreamweaving. It wasn't bad, though. There was nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
We're ahead of Doug Stanhope.
Oh.
We're ahead of uninformed Bill Burr and Joe DeRosa.
Wow, I feel good about that.
But Bill Burr's main show is like number 11, so. The Conan podcast, number 179.
What?
Yeah. Behind, they're behind us. Bob and Tom, behind us.
Whoa, that's huge.
Let's see.
Who's ahead of us?
Jim Jefferies show.
Who can we get mad at? Do these people do like one show a month?
Most of them do one show a week.
Okay.
Chris Hardwick is two slots ahead of us.
I thought he was canceled.
He should be.
No, he was uncanceled.
He was uncanceled. He redeemed himself.
Is it still called Nerdist or is it different now?
No, he's
it's been, called something else.
He's been done with the Nerdist for a long time.
They don't acknowledge him anymore?
Wipe him from the website?
It's called Idiot with Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, yeah. He banged Jenny McCarthy when she was hot and Carmen Electra.
I don't know. Do you guys have a problem with him? I don't have a problem with him.
You remember Singled Out? He nailed those two chicks when they were dime pieces. Man.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
He was the host, and they were the co-hosts, and so he banged them.
Chris Hardwick.
Don't you remember Singled Out?
Yeah.
I do.
A girl I went to high school was on this show. She's pretty hot.
Not that hot.
She's married now.
Why does he think he's hot enough to bang those chicks?
No. They did not meet on the show.
Were you up in there?
No.
Trudy, would you think Jenny McCarthy would bang him?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, because it's Jenny McCarthy?
Because she has terrible judgment. She has really stupid things.
She has terrible judgment.
He made that girl have sex with him every night because he said if she didn't, that she would lose him.
Those penetrating blue eyes would not work on me.
Was he with Carmen Electra post-Rodman?
Oh, probably, yeah.
That would have been pre-Rodman, right?
I don't know. Rodman was a ways back.
Wow, if he's post-Rodman, can you imagine?
I know.
Yeah.
Like ringing a dinner
Singled
bell.
Out was 95 to 98.
When was Carmen on there?
Oh, okay. Maybe he did. Maybe he was pre-Rodman.
You'd have to be pre.
BR. What you if don't he
was
AR?
What if he was sandwiched between Rodman and Dave Navarro?
So that would have been like 97, 98.
Huh. Okay. Trudy, can you handle?
Uh-oh.
She got married to Rodman in 98.
Okay, so he nailed her first.
Why did she do that? Why? She's so beautiful. She doesn't need to marry Rodman.
She still looks really good, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Is it Yasmin Bleeth that's kind of blimped out?
Yeah, Yasmin Bleeth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, she quit drugs, and I think food became her.
Carmen Electra briefly dated Simon Cowell.
Oh, my God.
That you know, Simon was just tapping at.
That teen photo is nuts.
Haven't seen Simon lately.
Yeah, he looks bizarre.
So weird. He got way too much plastic surgery done on his face.
What did they do to him?
Too much. They did too much to him.
Huh. He does look
well,
weird.
Our friends and original sponsors at Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's exciting as it sounds. During Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's... Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep that you've been yearning for. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited as low as $166 a month? Or if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee, low as $268 a month. Our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means a lot of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. Finally, you know, we can't get through a Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning Ram trucks.
Ram truck.
Go lease a 19 Ram truck. Crew cab, bighorn edition. God, there's so many compound truck.
Oh, well, there's a lot of choices.
I mean, they
have them all.
They do so many things. And this
read that again
is a 19 Ram crew cab bighorn edition, low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from. Also, see details and their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
By the way, when Ryan Helsley goes there, he can only buy a Jeep. It's just called a Jeep Grand.
But he's part of the Cherokee Nation.
But when he goes there, it's just called a Jeep. But if somebody else goes there, it's called a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
I think that's an honor to be named after.
Well, isn't that
a cool car?
Because he's a Cherokee, so yeah.
It's
just a normal. Dr. Yeldo
White
has supported.
White men can't have anything anymore.
He has supported the podcast for almost 2 years now, and that means a couple of things. He believes in us that we've come through. Nearly 100 of you have gotten life-changing surgery from him on our recommendation, either custom CATS LASIK, the most precise in the world, or what's called lens exchange for people 45-plus who can't stand their reading glasses. Eye surgery is generally a well-thought-out decision, and it's important to go with the best and most experienced. It's number one in Michigan. Over 30,000 LASIK and tens of thousands of lens exchange and cataract procedures. Dr. Yaldo doesn't lure you in with promises of low-cost LASIK. There's a lot of noise out there about low-priced LASIK, but when you go in, you find out what the real deal is. If you shop for it, Dr. Yaldo will promise Drew and Mike listeners he'll beat any LASIK offer that you bring in. Get the best, pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES. That's 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
No, 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 no.
I'm just saying.
Hey, has Juice tweeted anything lately?
Yeah,
he's keeping up on his Twitter.
He's had a few. You know, he's going, they're
is it all
fantasy.
Fantasy? Yeah. Oh, cut it out, Juice.
Yeah, he was...
He's just a former running back now. He's not a murderer.
Not the former murderer?
No.
Actually, well, you know...
back to nice OJ.
The last one that we kind of featured was the one where he was like, what? Not!
He's Twitter fading.
Uh-oh. But, you know, recently, a few days ago, he had something that was to do about running backs. But it was really long. It was 2 minutes long, and he just rambled.
Oh, God.
Because he's just pro running back.
Let's see here, OJ Simpson ramble.
I'd like to have him be our Dateline really? Okay, 2020 what? Correspondent. Wouldn't that be great? He needs to get in.
Stick
on
to
that.
What you know. Don't talk about what you don't know.
He knows about
not
that.
You know, I was trying to look up this award for WCSX, but I swear to God, nobody heard this but me.
No.
Really?
Maybe it didn't happen.
Maybe they won the award for outstanding in the field of excellence. What was the C. Montgomery Burns Award?
Oh,
outstanding achievement in the field of excellence.
I saw the Homer podcast or radio station.
Isn't that great?
So yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's really good.
Boom, hot take.
It was really
God, that's a great drop. Although
and boom, internet sports take. Talk show.
Apparently, some people don't like it. Oh, monetize would be a good drop too from that. Homer says monetize.
Oh yeah,
at some point.
Sorry, I like the part when
it's Mark's fault.
When he saw a viral video for the first time.
Well, I've never seen.
It was a monkey putting his finger in his butt and then smelling it, wasn't it?
And then he faints. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a parody of this video here. The classic.
Like one of the first ones ever.
Yeah, one of the first viral videos.
Every time they mentioned a viral video, you know, it wasn't as good as it was always something that was so perfect.
Smells it.
Oh, like grandma? When grandma got the poo on her nose?
Did they mention that one?
No. Mm-mm.
No, the ones they mentioned on The Simpsons, no, they all sounded just.
It hurts so much to know that stupid. No one is clicking me or liking me. They might have no opinion. I can't live with that.
It's bouncing around the web like a beach ball at a Nickelback concert.
So did you guys know WRIF won an award?
I think I might have heard that.
I forget you're with the competition every day now.
The Radio Ranch. They might have been talking about.
Technically on the competition, too. In fact, enjoy our show at the convenient Saturday and Sunday morning hours of 7 to 9 when everybody's up and driving through rush hour traffic.
Oh, I didn't know they made ninth place ribbons.
Yeah, boy.
Well, come in and do a show.
Some people
in the studio.
Are up. I mean, if you're up getting coffee or something, why not turn us on?
Yeah.
Maybe you don't hear the whole podcast. So you might hear something that you didn't
boom!
Hear.
Hot take!
Exactly.
Always something really good.
But anyway, yeah, there were a lot of pictures of Riff online. I think they had a party. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, you know, I'm happy. I know a lot of people over there. We both do. All of us do. Like, Ken, Maria, you know, Kathy, Flesher from sales. And, you know, of course I'm happy for them. But I didn't see Dave and Chuck in any pictures.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just weren't there.
What, do they take them at 11 a.m.?
I don't know. Yeah, well, that would have been a way to exclude them.
Thank you very much, Trudy.
If they wanted to exclude
getting
them.
My joke.
I got it.
I got
something
it.
Very salty about it.
I'm trying to think of
I was on a show where the host was out of the building by 9. I was like,
what?
Appalled.
Oh, I think I know which one.
Yes.
It's crazy. I was
like, what? Well, I am. Maybe what do you do with the rest of your day?
Meltdown and Ann were in pictures.
Yeah, okay.
Screaming Scott was in pictures.
Oh, I love screaming.
Like Dave and Chuck were too good for the picture. Maybe I just didn't see him. I really, honestly, I've never met them in person.
Really?
So I wouldn't know exactly what they look like. Can you check Facebook, Brandon, see if they're in the pictures of the party? Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If they are in the pictures, then
I miss Screaming Scott's chili.
Remember the chili he would make? God, it was so good.
Really? I made some hellish chili over the weekend.
I know that's random, but he would always make it. It's fantastic.
Kick-ass
Boom!
Chili.
Hot take!
Delicious.
And good salsa, too. Right, Zeus? Yeah.
Did you hear about the
apropos of nothing?
Did you guys see the Spirit Airlines passenger that was forced off the plane because he barfed in a woman's hair?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool. Good move.
God.
Oh my God, he was such a slob too. I mean, if you didn't want someone to barf in your hair, it would be him. I don't know who could barf in your hair that would be fun or exciting to have barf in your hair, but it definitely. He would be worse than most people.
And you know it stunk.
Oh, yeah. It did. They act. They got everybody off the plane.
That smells awful. Now I'm going to throw up.
And the girl, this is terrible, but my serious issue shallow thought was that I think she needs to re-dye her hair. Her color was not
after all that
color.
Vomit.
No, it was just a bad color without the vomit.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought kind of a... It was a blonde, yellow kind of, it just didn't work for me. I don't know. I mean, you may see it and go, you might want to get her hairdresser's phone number. I don't know. I didn't see it that way.
So maybe that's why he barfed in her hair, because his color was so objectionable.
What could be worse than a Spirit Airline flight from Chicago to Baltimore where a guy throws up in someone's hair?
I know. Well, it hadn't left, at least.
Here's the video. I know, but ugh. Probably didn't make the plane smell that much worse. Is it not going to play? It's not going to play. Great. Cool. Thanks.
It wasn't anything special. They had a video of him throwing up. I just saw a video of somebody
cleaning up her hair.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can at least see her hair.
God.
There was another great...
With Advil liquid gels, you have...
Oh, shut up.
There was, while you're looking, there's another great local story about... I just couldn't get over this guy, Anthony Lovejoy. What do you think? Anthony Lovejoy. He must be such a... lovely person with a name like Lovejoy, a 38-year-old guy. And I saw the name, and I'm like, Lovejoy? Well, wild name. Anyway, he's arrested in Kentucky for shooting some people at a gas station. He just fired off a bunch of shots into a group of people at a gas station in Detroit. Just, got a little squabble in the gas station.
What was the squabble?
At 2 a.m. They didn't say, but his girlfriend... got her gun, her pistol out of her purse and handed it to him.
Oh,
and he just starts shooting. And the video, you can see him. They're hiding behind a car.
He's so mad.
He's like running up to the car trying to shoot over it to shoot them. And somebody's shooting back at him, too.
There's a fist fight inside the gas station first.
Oh, my God.
I know, this story was just insane. And when you see him running with his gun just shooting at people, it's like, oh, get that animal off the streets.
There's a standing rule. You should never get gas in Detroit anyway.
Yeah, especially not at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Not a great idea.
No.
Flame has this week's Detroit's most wanted.
All right.
Anne-Marie. U.S. Marshals say morning, it was Dipples. A fist fight that began inside the gas station and erupted into a gunfight out here at the pump.
Who is that?
Two people Anne-Marie were shot. Flame. Two people
That's
now
Anne-Marie.
On the
run.
She does Detroit's most darker. Yes, I know she does Detroit's most wanted.
I did not.
Yes, she does. It's her thing.
Number one, get into a fight. They get in a fight inside the gas station.
Good stick and move there.
That August fight recorded inside the gas station at Cajun and Harper.
Leandrea Lippitt hands him a pistol out of her purse.
Police say this is Leandrea Lippitt.
Nice. Anthony Lovejoy takes the gun.
And this is her boyfriend, Anthony Lovejoy.
Nice girlfriend.
There's a gunfight here at the gas station at 2 a.m. in the morning.
You can see the man police identify as Lovejoy head toward the door and begin shooting at that large group of people outside. A second gunman fires back. Police say he was shot.
One of the victims who were shot in the abdomen area,
Watch
the chest
part. Look
area.
At him. He's right up the car,
the
shooting
arm.
Over the car.
It takes less than 20 seconds for dozens of shots to be fired.
Man, look
his
how calm
bullets
he is.
Shatter glass. People run for their lives, and two men are hit.
The other victim was shot in the thigh area. Both, one was in critical condition, but both survived.
Everyone at the gas station takes off. Police say the victims were dropped off at the hospital a short time later, and by the time DPD arrived, this was the scene.
They come to the scene. The Cadillac Escalade is empty. There's bullet holes all over the vehicle.
Lippitt and Lovejoy have not been seen since. Lovejoy is 38 years old and just got out of prison for assault with intent to murder.
Isn't that nice?
The same charge he's now facing
just
once
got
again.
Out.
Extensive criminal histories out of both of these two. They're habitual offenders. We believe that they're still possibly armed and dangerous. and they committed several felonies.
He's banned.
We need to
they
find
got them
him.
Both.
Lippitt is 27.
So,
oh, no, are they going to be on the next? What is the prison romance show that you watch?
Oh, Love After Lockup.
Love After Lockup. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a stone cold killer.
Well, now they're in.
I would think Leandria Lippitt would wait for him. He's such a wonderful man, and she did hand him the
gun.
Pistol.
Yeah. She wants her gun back.
Well, she's an accessory.
So anyway, not only was he just paroled for assault with intent to murder, he has a rap sheet miles long before that.
Great.
And the point is that because he didn't kill anyone, he only shot them, he'll probably not get a life sentence this time.
Oh.
So
great.
He'll probably go through the carousel one more time.
So he should be glad he's a bad shot. Now.
By the way, on True Crime Friday, I should also mention, do you guys remember Carrie Swenson?
Yeah.
Olympic athlete?
Yeah.
She was, I didn't remember either, Mark. It was like 84 Olympics, maybe, or 88 Olympics. I don't know. Anyway, she's some stupid thing called biathlete.
Biathlete.
And I think she won something. I don't know what. But anyway, lovely young lady, and she trains like a mad woman.
Yeah.
And she was a great athlete.
Is that the one, the badass one, where you do the cross-country skiing and then you shoot?
Which Norm MacDonald always said in his routine, he goes, it's like, why don't we sprint to the pond and then fish?
Yeah, that takes so much out of you because you're trying to aim a gun. Your heart is going a million miles an hour. That takes a lot of skill.
Sounds like you're a big biathlon fan.
In the,
pretty good watch.
In the ID story I saw about her, and I'm trying to remember what the story was. Was it Lies That Bind?
Did she get shoot training for biathlon?
They showed her hitting a target like
she was
five
abducted.
Times in a row. These real sexist guys were like, oh yeah, like you can do better, oh. Annie Oakley, and then she nails the target like five times and embarrasses these guys.
All right,
boom, hot take.
So she's out doing her running, and I didn't mean to
be that broad.
Disparaging about her because she was a great Olympian, and I'm sure she's a delightful young lady, older lady now. But anyway, she gets kidnapped. In the woods by this father-son combination.
Wait, they didn't know her?
No.
Yeah, Don and Dan Nichols, they were two survivalists.
A great father-son event to do.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to do with your kids.
The father was trying to
do it, too. Why?
He was trying to select a wife for his son.
Did I do good, Daddy?
Who could right, live in the right, wilderness
kidnapping her.
Happily ever after with them.
Green light thinking.
So they kidnap her, and... You know, they've got her chained, and she tried to get away a couple times to no avail, but she somehow undid her watch and dropped it.
Really?
On a trail. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And they found her watch, and then they kind of kept going in that direction, and this guy comes up on them, runs back and gets help, and the guy he brings back has a gun on the father, who then shoots him to death. Shoots him immediately.
Killed the father?
No, the father killed him.
Oh, really? Oh,
and the other guy ran for more help, and they came up, and they got the guy to surrender, the father. But he murdered this guy
who was
out there trying to rescue her. And the father just got out of prison. He's 86.
Oh, great.
He just got out. And, you know, he's 86. I don't know how many people he can murder now.
Does he have to live back in the woods?
That should
be a deal.
Maybe that's a challenge. Hey, you're 86. Let's see if you can murder somebody at 86.
There you go. Yeah.
So she was
see
shot.
How long you can go.
She was shot too at the time.
She was shot in the rescue attempt.
So she's laying there with her dead friend for hours and hours and hours and hours.
She was shot because the son was. I think she had tried to escape, and he's like, don't pull any wise moves, and he's like waving the gun at her, and the gun went off. Didn't even intentionally shoot her.
Apple
the doofus
dope.
Son.
Did you know Doofus' son was out in parole in 91?
Yes, in 91. And he's been in trouble since.
Yeah, for weed.
I think dad has, too.
That he intended to sell at a concert. This guy's
well,
dope.
It seems like he's
no wonder his dad needed to get him a wife. What a loser.
The dad got freed out, too, recently. He looks old.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
I thought you said the son.
No, dad. Wait, I said that
he's
before.
86.
Wait, the dad was trying to snare Carrie for his son?
Yes.
To make a wife out of her for his son?
Yes. Look at what a dope he is.
And
she was pretty. She is pretty. I mean, I assume she's pretty.
She might
be a hog by now, but I don't know.
The faith they have in relationships.
That was on the ID show.
Fine.
Your worst nightmare.
Thank you.
And I'll say Dan's out, too.
You said Anne-Marie LaFlamme because she was doing that story so immediately, very Pavlovian. I had to look at her Instagram.
Well, I was wondering if there were comments under Detroit's Most Wanted or Michigan's Most Wanted.
Oh, will you check it,
if she was getting a Hello Dimples on there.
So she posted a picture with her and Keenan, and Rex Roth was in this morning with her.
Sweet. I saw that, by the way.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
I did.
Great. The first comment below
is, lucky me, I'm working with...
Yeah. Am I lucky? Am I a lucky girl or what? Hanging with Keenan and the amazing Dave Rexroth this morning. Hashtag meteorologists everywhere. First comment, you are truly blessed, but it has nothing to do with those two.
Yeah.
Oh, some envy.
The next one below. Or, hey, you got that dress from the tight dress store. Hashtag DMP. Hashtag
yeah, boy.
I know. There's been some. There's been some comments that are...
What?
Probably shouldn't be made.
Oh.
What?
I don't know. Just in the last few days.
Wait, on the Michigan's Most Wanted or?
There's no comments on Michigan's Most Wanted, but I've just been seeing them online. What, I think we've created a beast because some people are trying to, I think some people are writing things, I think, just to get us to read them, and they're a little.
Over the line?
Yeah.
Such as?
Oh, come on, man.
Just ones referencing body parts. And
are you sure they're people? Are people?
Definitely.
But they're not.
Oh, knock it off.
As creepy as the 100%. Intent behind the Hello Dimples guy or the Good Morning Dimples.
Well, that guy's real.
Yeah, that guy's
unfortunately.
Real. I mean, our people, I hope, don't troll her.
No, there's a lot of trolling going on.
I mean, why do we? Why are our people trolling?
You're alone.
I think they're trolling me, too. Me, too. People are trolling on Facebook Live. I'm a victim of trolling.
There was a
I occupy a victim position now. You know what I've noticed? The reason I took any interest, because I get a lot of email. The nice thing, I was thinking about this today. Back when email started, and even before that, when people were faxing, you know, that was
right.
The best contact you had with the audience.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody faxed in this incredibly negative response to something, and I believe it was Zip and I, and I read it on the air. And afterwards, I just remember, but PD said, don't ever read negative emails or faxes from people because it could make other people feel the same way. It could influence the rest of the audience.
It's ridiculous.
And the fact is, a lot of people said, oh, I love that you read that email or that that fax because, you know, it was so funny. And what it always does, though, is it brings in a flurry of people defending you.
Exactly.
Which is nice, which isn't why I did it. But I think people typically enjoy hearing people like bad tweets. Jimmy Kimmel's bad tweets.
Yeah, that is a great feature.
People usually like that. And the reason I was interested in it was I was honestly interested in what they were saying, as flip as it may have been to say, you know, all interviews suck or whatever, or somebody sucks. In fact, oh my God, I was amazed. There are people bitching about Andy Dick. I thought Andy Dick was a home run.
I love Andy.
Generally, anytime he showed up. But some people, is it because he's in trouble that people bum out, or they just don't think he's funny?
Probably don't think he's funny. Or it just goes on too long. I don't know.
Can't make everybody happy.
Have we heard from Andy?
No.
No? I was somebody whose opinion I respected didn't like him. It's a chick,
it
though. It's a female. You don't know her.
Would I know her because she's a chick? Chicks know all chicks.
Boom!
You'd know
her. Hot take!
Yeah. Who's that broad?
Actually, the person was complaining about Mr. Methane and then said, I guess...
She sounds hot.
Something like...
Methane.
Something to the effect that... I guess Andy Dick isn't my least favorite guest.
Or oh,
something to that effect. Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
it was,
shots fired.
It was a brutal hot take. But I think the reason all these shitty Facebook things and emails, the reason they intrigue me or if they bother me is because I've noticed with a lot of with our podcast too, when it started out, everyone is so nice. Oh my God, I love it. So glad you're back. And then as time goes on, you know, naturally because well, you're there.
Yeah.
You're all the time. So they take a keener critical eye to what
Sorry.
You're doing.
I kinda wanna manipulate you.
I think you're going this way and I don't like it.
Right.
And I've seen on some of the older podcasts, shows that are older than us, even Joe Rogan going through the reviews, like, because I love reading other people's shitty reviews. makes me feel good. And I noticed that people, yeah, when I first listened the first couple of years, I really liked it, but now it's the same old shit over and over again. Or, you know, I'm so sick of your co-host, or I'm like this person every time he's on. Why do you have this guest? And it's just inevitable, I suppose. It's kind of like when you start out and you're really, things are going great, like most of the 90s. And then all of a sudden when you're established as something that's doing well, then people just, oh, they're phoning it in. I mean, that is the most,
yeah.
People say that all the time. Oh, they're phoning it in. All they do is, and it's not, it wasn't just us. I mean, it's a lot of people. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. They'll just say that. And people said it about Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
There were some...
He was most definitely not phoning it in.
You need to read some other comments, like the ones that I just came across in the Drew and Mike podcast fans Facebook thing, feed.
Mm-hmm.
It was Nicholas, who says he loves the show. He works at Ford on the assembly line, and that's what gets him through his day.
Aww.
Because he listens to us right at 6 a.m. when the line starts. And then... When he goes through the podcast of the day, he listens to the old show with us on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then, let's see, a bunch of other people really thankful for the show. So you have to see the other ones.
There's been some blowback. There has been some boomeranging of positive compliments.
Catherine Peterson, who says the drops are hilarious. She listens to it every single day. They're the best thing going on today, according to David Burge. Has a hard time listening to regular radio, except for WLLZ. Thank you, David.
By the way, it's like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Someone made a post about how the drops suck and they get in the way of the show.
What?
And this person was lambasted.
Drops.
Just lambasted. Universal is like, if you don't like it, you can get out.
You want me to change? Fuck you.
It was probably the most impassioned defense I've ever seen of anything. Ever.
That is the best part, when people attack others with drops and they're unaware.
Stay in your lane, bro. Yeah.
I know. It's funny how often
they don't know
happens.
What people are saying to them.
I know. And they're pissed.
Yeah.
So I said we'd get to Matt Lauer eventually. And because this
Inside
story.
Edition had the girl who got anally raped walking around New York.
Yeah. She has a new boyfriend, by the way, who's president of his company.
Yeah, it's a political company.
Quite successful man.
Oh.
I don't know what that means, that it's a political company.
I have no idea what it is. But
no one knows what it means, but you have to say it like that.
He's the CEO, though.
It means something.
He is the CEO.
He knows how to write a press
release. Powerful man.
He's probably like, hey, since Matt got it in the...
he can't do that.
In the back door, how about me?
No, no way. She's not letting anybody hear that. It's Exhibit A.
You know
it's
what
Exhibit Anus.
You know what I think
would be... It's a crime scene, it's surrounded by yellow tape.
It's Exhibit Anus.
I think it would be beneficial to know. Boy, I hate saying this. Wouldn't it help to know if
they did butt sex again?
Yes, thank you.
A second time?
For two very good reasons. One, because I just want to know.
We know they had sex after the initial Sochi.
Oh, they had sex many times.
But if they did have anal sex after Sochi, then her entire defense of like it hurt and I didn't want to do it kind of goes out the window.
But it still could have happened.
He would have told us.
I kind of thought so too.
Well, now hang on.
But I felt it was very material to the story because I just kind of wanted to know. I don't know why.
You can be in a relationship with somebody and be raped.
Yeah, and do the same thing again and not be raped.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have had a great experience in the butt after that, and she still would have been bad the first time.
That time he used lube, unlike the time.
Yeah, or, you know, they discussed it. And
anybody didn't know that?
She wildly liked it and demanded it again.
You want lube this time? What?
Prison.
There she is.
Lube. Of the former disgraced Today Show host. In fact,
people
she calls
are
his
fascinated. I don't know what it is, but when something happens in the butt, it just becomes. I mean, there's no story that doesn't mention the butt part.
It's still a little.
Trudy, why are you holding your hand?
It's still a little bit taboo.
The drop by Homer was just ringing in my head. Does it go in the butt?
I'm not afraid is the headline. She's not afraid of taking the butt.
How about when Homer was obsessed with that thing that the guy wanted him to do, the influencer guy?
Does
it go in the? He's like, is it orally or does it go in the other end? His assistant was some kind of pill.
Letter, a case study in victim shaming. Diane McInerney reports.
Yeah, She's got all the buzzwords.
It's probably written by her boyfriend. There's no way a woman would know words like that.
Notice all the buzzwords? So transactional. The sex is transactional.
Every single camera in the world came out to see her.
I feel bad for her.
I know. I do too, in a way. She's the first. In a lot of ways.
Look at that. Look at that response. Her first response is, oh my gosh. Like
she has no fear of the former disgraced Today Show host. Boom. In fact, she calls his incendiary open
letter
one camera
that just
a case
on
study
her butt?
In victim shaming. Dia McInerney reports.
Hey, Brooke, how you doing?
She's the former Today Show producer who was accusing Matt Lauer of raping her at the Winter Olympics in 2014.
Brooke, what do you think about Matt's denial of your version of the story?
35-year-old Brooke Neville.
I think she looks good there.
She does look pretty good there.
She said battle with a disgraced Today Show co-host.
What is he fucking in traffic for?
She says, I'm not afraid of him. Neville's gives a graphic account of what she says happened in Lauer's hotel room in the soon-to-be-released book, Catch and Kill, by journalist Ronan Farrow. Lauer denies the allegations in a blistering open letter. Women with whom I had extramarital relationships have abandoned shared responsibility and instead shielded themselves from blame behind false allegations.
Oh,
I will no longer provide them with the shelter of my silence, he writes.
Shelter.
He says of Brooke Neville's, she was a fully enthusiastic and willing partner. She seemed to know exactly what she wanted to do. Neville's is hitting back, calling Lauer's statement a case study in victim blaming. The shame in this story belongs to him.
I'm Brooke Neville.
Pause for a second. I think that's what Matt Lauer is trying to say, and I don't think he said it very well because he's got
plenty of buzzwords too.
Yeah, I think he's over responding.
Yes.
I think he's really, really upset, whether rightly or wrongly.
Sure.
And I think what he's trying to say is that she was in an extramarital affair also. She was sleeping with a married man, and no one is, that's being overlooked. In other words, she is a victim, and
yeah,
she got $1 million from, or more from NBC, and she did not work for me or NBC. She worked for Meredith Vieira, who is not a shrinking violet, by the way. Mm. I thought it was... There are two things in the story that should very much be verified or not verified. Did she indeed not work for NBC and work for Meredith Vieira? And also, did he or did he not have a lock in his office? That was a huge part of the story. It was like he locks people in and makes them have sex.
Wouldn't it be hard to believe that they would allow an employee of theirs to hire a personal assistant to work in the building and everything and not be an employee?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think it should be. He says she was not working for NBC.
But they just call her a former Today Show producer. Is that?
I don't know. But you know, when one person, it's just like the lock in the room. I mean,
is it possible that she wasn't working for NBC when she was in Sochi and then later worked for the Today Show?
I have no idea. She said she was in meetings and stuff. So I don't know if that was because she worked when she wanted to do something. She went to Meredith Vieira, who I assume because she worked for her.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they implied. And Meredith Vieira said immediately, you know, go to HR. And she did.
I know. She's the hero in the story. She comes out looking pretty good.
Yeah, she.
Her. I don't know.
Except leaving her at the table with Matt Lauer after six shots of vodka.
She didn't know he was going to use no lube.
Oops.
Well, and I don't want to say that, you know, it's her fault if it happened because she was bombed. But, I mean, it's just that the fact that she is drinking that much and she goes to his room twice and that she trusted him, I mean, they ended up having an affair. It wasn't like, she says it was transactional. I'm sorry.
But you can still be raped and
yes,
have a relationship.
And have a relationship.
Especially
and that's,
in the butt.
But she doesn't even acknowledge that. She suggests that every time they did something was because she was afraid of what he could do to her career.
I kind of understand how she could feel that way, whether it's right or wrong.
Well, if
he's a pretty imposing figure in 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
What Weinstein used to do.
I don't know.
Call up and say, hey, I don't want her on that project. And
yeah,
except she worked for Meredith Vieira.
Or any other, you know, TV producer he knew people
I guess.
In the business. He could call up and say,
Matt
you know,
Lauer,
just ruin her.
Yeah, I don't know if he has a history of doing that because it sounds like he had a lot of girlfriends.
Weinstein did that. Who did he do that to who was going to work on the Hobbit movie and then got booted off of that?
Well,
and there was another one.
What was it? Is it Liv Tyler?
Yeah, no. Well, I don't think it was, but
she was in the Lord of the Rings, not the Hobbit.
I think Matt Lauer, I don't Nerd. Like Matt Lauer. I never did like him. But I find this story really interesting, and I'm disappointed that I want someone to tell me, did he have a lock in his office? Is that true? He says it's not true.
Well,
it's not even close to true.
I'm sure he had a lock on it, but could he
No, he said, could he lock it? He could lock it behind his desk, is what they said. They made it sound like he locked people in his office. Well, the way it was originally implied, yes, I think it does. And the other thing is,
lock someone.
That would be different to
lock. It would be different to lock someone inside.
Yeah, if they're sitting there, I mean, it made it sound like he locked them in and they couldn't leave and until they had sex with him or something. And then the other thing is her employment. If indeed Meredith Vieira was her boss, or she did or did not work for NBC, I don't know. It's all very that stuff. I feel like is easily, it's not disputable. So why isn't it made clear by someone? Probably because NBC just doesn't want to say a thing about this. Because NBC said there was no assault, and, you know, we're moving on. He's fired. There was no assault. End of story.
Nobody wants The Weeknd to get here quicker than NBC.
No.
They want this story to be done.
And by the way, in the building, it sounds like everyone knew this affair was going on. It
sounded like she told a lot of people.
Yeah.
And for the record, just a random drop of information, Peter Jackson claimed that Harvey Weinstein prevented Ashley Judd and Mira Sorvino for being in that Hobbit movie.
You know, Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, I don't think they're the same category.
Go outside, nerd. Get out. Go.
Harvey Weinstein's...
But by way of example, I was saying that he could have done the very same thing that Weinstein did. He's called up whoever was making the movie, and he was like, you don't want her. She's not any good.
You know who
and,
I got?
And just, you know, sour...
I think what's left out of the story, though, Harvey Weinstein ran Hollywood. Matt Lauer is a married guy who his reputation is incredibly important, and he doesn't want people to know that he's sleeping with somebody besides his wife. First of all, he's been accused of it many times already.
Speaking about his wife, now ex-wife, Annette Roque. I get really mad seeing all these headlines that Annette Roque breaks her silence. And then did you read her statement?
I did not.
Her statement was, she's not going to make any comment on this out of respect for her. She's busy raising her children. It's like, that's not breaking your silence. That's saying that you're going to remain silent.
I was amazed she was with him as long as she was. Well, I mean, there were so many stories
kids.
About him. I guess. I don't know. I mean, she's probably doing okay
also,
now.
You know who we did not need to hear from in all this is Ann Curry, as if Ann Curry would ever say anything nice about Matt Lauer or NBC.
Oh, you know she'd love checking in on that one.
God, she's getting off on this.
Didn't she comment on Billy Bush, too?
She comments on everything NBC.
What is Ann Curry doing?
She's going to do a podcast with Taryn.
That's right.
what's the girl's name? Who dated Prince that NBC blew out?
Oh, yeah.
Tamron Hall. She has a show on ID?
Really?
Oh, yeah,
she does.
Not Ann Curry. Ann Curry does.
And she doesn't phone it in like, who's the CBS chick? Oh. yeah, what's her name? Blonde. She was on CBS for years.
I almost said Debra Moore, but I know.
She looks great. This is going to drive me crazy. I think she was at CBS till about 2006.
Diane Sawyer.
No.
Is it Joan something?
Joan Rivers.
No, Joan.
London.
Joan London. Isn't
no,
it Joan
no, 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 no. Wesley Stone.
This is a focused show, man.
Keith Morris.
Everyone's picture. Oh, wait. not Aaron Moriarty.
Steve Cross?
I like Aaron Moriarty.
She's great. She
Leslie
really
Stahl.
Good.
Dan Rather.
Leslie.
It's not Leslie Stahl.
Is she the host of Evil Lives Here?
Who's the host?
I don't know. I'm just looking at ID.
Katie Couric.
Paul Azan. Paul Azan. Yeah. Paul Azan hosts a show on ID, and it is very obvious to me that she never does any reporting herself. Every time they show her in an interview, they show her like she's looking at the person asking the question, and then they go to the other person answering, and there's a different background. She never goes out and interviews anybody. It's all her in the studio narrating and acting like she's interviewing people, but they're just playing their answers to her questions, and she really acts as if...
It's a producer who's doing the interview.
Yes, exactly. And Tamron Hall, on the other hand, goes to the sites, these, you know, of the murder and the witnesses, and she interviews them herself.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
Kudos to Cameron.
She's a better journalist.
Cameron.
The Washington Post.
She just had a baby, by the way. She's 49.
Oh, what were you?
I was going to give the answer to Neville's and where she worked in NBC and all that. Do you care still or no?
Oh, yeah. What's the deal?
I already got your answers. Never 3 inches. Tom Daly on a boat and with my finger.
Started at NBC as a page. She was tasked with greeting guests and getting them to the set ahead of their interviews. One of her most memorable assignments, she was tasked with tracking down Robert De Niro's wallet that he left in a taxi.
Oh, God.
February 09, she took a 10-month post as personal assistant to Meredith Vieira. She gathered research for her, blah, 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 blah. By 2010, she worked her way up to associate researcher who produced segments for the weekend edition of the Today Show. Then she eventually went to work for Brian Williams on NBC Nightly News as a producer.
And writing Whoppers.
She produced three.
Verifying Whoppers.
Leave Brian Williams alone.
Worked as a producer in 14, so this is right before the alleged rape. She was a producer on A Leap of Faith, a Meredith Vieira special, which she was nominated for an Emmy.
Boring.
So she did. She totally worked for NBC.
Well, they should point. Why would not fact check when somebody writes something like that?
He's wrong.
Well,
there.
No. Here's
he's also a journalist. Do you think he would?
Here's the other disputed fact about the door locking device. Yeah. There was an investigation, and this is reported in the Washington Post. The team inquired about the nature of the button in Lauer's office that was alleged to have locked the door. According to the NBC Universal Facilities team, the button is a commonly available feature in executive offices in multiple NBC Universal facilities to provide an efficient way to close the door without getting up from the desk.
Why it doesn't
button
lock
releases a magnet that holds the door open. It does not lock the door from the inside.
You are fake news.
Well, it makes it sound like it sounded like Matt Lauer had a button installed under his desk where he could lock people in his office. They didn't make it sound like it was a common executive thing.
The button releases the magnet, so there
the
is
the door. Yeah.
This is a news story here, and it says, yes, he really did have a button to close women in his office, but Matt Lauer is using semantics to deny it.
And he's got, and look at the smirky picture of him there.
The picture selection of Matt Lauer has been
that's what
really
he looks
bad.
Like right before he shuts the door.
So it sounds like he's lying his ass off.
What are the semantics that they're claiming?
I'm trying to read.
That he could lock people inside.
That he,
which no one.
How can
said.
He say there's no such thing? There is obviously something in several of their offices.
Breaking news: his daughter's deleted TikTok videos.
Oh, because of all the comments. His poor daughter.
Good job, Lauer.
It's quite clear that Matt Lauer is tired of all her sour grapes.
You can't get tired. You wanted to get in the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants the world to know that she was digging it and that she blew him the first night.
Yeah.
They both had oral sex.
Yeah.
She was
drunk. It didn't count.
That means 69.
I was surprised he didn't say that she had multiple orgasms while he was at it. I mean, seriously, he really was.
She said I was the biggest she ever had.
She's never seen anything bigger then or since.
And it was super long and thick.
That'd be great if he started throwing out whoppers like that. She came 10 times.
Well, I thought the most powerful thing he said was that she called, you know, yearning to reestablish the relationship long after it was over.
Yeah.
When he was at home with his family.
Oh, she wants it so bad.
Just Stockholm
syndrome. What he was saying.
Yeah, but now we know he has two lies in his little statement.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Two simple little lies.
Well, I thought it was also, I think the whole business of her shopping a book and, you know, trying to profit.
He's going
to
read that book and shopping.
I don't know what the point is of saying that.
Because that's the equivalent of she just wants money.
A lawyer.
Instead of a 1,200-word response, I think he should have just said that, hey, it was an affair.
It was consensual.
We were both cheating and, you know, I was wrong and I did not rape her.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he wanted to make a case.
Word economy, Matt. You didn't learn that all those years.
You should end it with my podcast drops on Monday. The Lauer Hour.
It's not a love affair. The object is that you're both getting your rocks off.
Is it called the Lauer Hour?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Not really.
You got to sell it to Matt.
Pretty simple.
Did he need to say that they had mutual oral sex, vaginal and anal sex the first night? Was that necessary?
I don't know. I think that's...
knew what she wanted.
That she loved it.
Don't you think that those are ways of intimidating her?
Yeah.
So
I don't think he has the ability to intimidate her now. He has no job, no power, no future.
He probably...
He's reminding her.
He probably thinks
put it in the butt.
That, you know, at least he's got to give it a shot. There's a lawyer writing that letter, isn't there? I mean...
I don't think a lawyer. I don't think a lawyer would have written that letter.
He's not going to write his own letter.
Oh, I'm sure he worked with. You don't think he worked with somebody?
He may have
with the wording.
But there's no way a lawyer would want him.
He's
to
a good
a 1,200 word letter.
Well, I guess he'll just have to take his $60 million and just go away.
Yeah, but
cut in half.
I think that's a big punishment though to him. I think on TV is probably what he lives for. And plus, look at him walking around now. He looks like a walking dick. He really does. Yeah, with his shaved head.
She grows hair out again.
Yeah. Well, then he looks like a baby bird. It's like super bad.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of many people, if I see a picture of them, that I have a more negative view of than Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey.
Hitler.
Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Hitler would be in there somewhere. Even James Franco. Whenever I see his picture, I just think, like,
really?
Oh, that creepy James Franco.
Yeah, he's kind of hot.
Well.
Yeah.
Keeps his body tight.
No, how about you know the skin?
No, James Franco sounds really skeevy, doesn't he?
Who's the
guy? He gets high a lot. He didn't know what he was doing.
Remember when this all broke? Weinstein was first, and then remember there was
Rudy defended James Franco because he's hot.
Remember there's James Toback.
Toback, yeah,
like right out of the gate.
No, he
just was
disappeared.
Awful. He was so terrible. But then everyone went, man, nobody knows what the fuck this guy is.
Yeah, he's probably making a movie right now.
He might be, and he was terrible. Remember, didn't he hand out DVDs of his movies to chicks?
Oh, yeah. He was so creepy.
That's right.
He was awful. He
looked he would go up to hot women in Central Park and go, hey, you want to be a star? Look here, I did this movie.
And then he'd force to have sex with them.
I could not believe the attractive women that were having sex with that guy because he told him he was a big shot director. It was like, oh, my God.
Yep. And let us never forget that Weinstein blew a load in a pot.
Plant.
At a restaurant. I thought it came
in a
out,
plant.
Wasn't it a plant first? And then they said, no, it was a pot.
In the kitchen?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not letting the plant go.
Who was the chef? Was that Mario?
Oh, Mario
Batali.
Yeah, he was pretty early.
Yeah. He's been canceled.
I thought the whole business of these nerdy guys like Weinstein and... The NXIVM guy, Vanguard, Keith Raniere. Especially Keith Raniere. I would think incels would be studying him to find out how to get laid. Because that's just a doughy guy who's short, who's goofy looking. And look at all the action he's getting. Look at how hot the chicks are. I would think he would be an incel idol and they would study him. Because incels sound pretty... The people who call themselves incels, they sound like they're terribly deranged. And they would be looking for manipulative ways because they hate women. They think women are terrible and mean to them universally.
I just caught that that NXIVM piece, the one specifically...
True Hollywood Story?
Yeah, the True Hollywood Story. And I could not believe when they had the piece, the part on Allison Mack, just... How much she wanted to nail him, how much everything he said, she was just giggly. And oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. I just felt it in my core. And he had her and all those other chicks. He was just pulling strings with it. He was David Koresh.
They were turning over money to him. They were writing, they were signing over deeds to him. In other words, if I fuck up, if I don't do all the right things, my deed is signed over to you. They took nude pictures. I mean, what the fuck? How did he get people to do that? He should write a book. I mean, I don't want to manipulate that many
people.
Now,
that's being sexy. That's all. That's classy and sexy. I like that.
It'd be nice to know how he did it, kind of, sort of. I mean, just if you needed a little manipulation for mutual benefit.
I don't know. It seemed like a lot of work, that table talk with her. Seemed like a lot of effort.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of effort.
That was just telling her, like, he just kept saying buzzwords, like...
I know, but look how
the key to the spirit and the soul.
Look at the payoff.
Authentic. And then she's got this huge grin and she's like, oh my God, I want it so bad.
I know. There was nothing non-consensual. All those chicks slept with him. I mean, 15 to 20 at a time.
That chair was soaked.
And immediately she went out and just started recruiting more. And she was recruited too by
recruiting chicks for him.
Yeah.
Who end up wanting him? I mean, it's not like Epstein.
I was just going to say, are you impressed by Epstein's power of persuasion?
No, Epstein paid them. and they were underage. It was illegal. These were consensual sexual relationships.
Are they always consensual? Then what's he in prison for?
Well, there's some creepy stuff. Well, that's been accused. But Allison Mack and these women in DOS or whatever,
the problem. He didn't know when to stop.
In fact, in the Hollywood story.
Very nice, very sexy, very nice body.
They had a story about one of the women who said she decided she couldn't have sex with him anymore because he was having sex with so many other women. Remember that part, Brandon?
I did not get to that part.
And by the way, I looked her up. She was hot when Vanguard was with her. She gave him like $1.9 million to invest, which he said he lost. Like 2 days later.
Terrible investor.
Because she didn't have faith. Because she questioned it. That's why he lost her money.
He's a terrible investor because he's spending so much time at that table being authentic. He doesn't know how to invest.
I don't think that he would be able to pull any of this off if it wouldn't have been from the Seagram's chick investing $130 million.
That helped. But he got her to invest it.
Right.
He's a beautiful man.
But without that $130 million, I mean, there's no flying around the world. There's no
workshops. Bronfman girls feel, you morons.
Yeah, idiots.
Gave $150 million to that dope, that phony. And they gave him money to defend himself, too. They were still behind him.
How dumb does Eddie Albert feel, too?
Vanguard. He got sued, didn't he?
Did he really?
I think he did.
Oh, man, that's the end of Albert.
Yeah, because that was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
And he was promoting it on that infomercial.
Well, NXIVM was a Ponzi scheme, too.
That's how he started off. Well, that and underage
girls. He had numerous failed businesses before NXIVM. Numerous.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an absolute failure, start to finish. Although he spoke in complete sentences when he's 1 year old.
That's right. Fake.
We have really disappointing, and I think this is something we need to have sympathy for, is the millennials who are having
On this National Mental Health Day.
Yes. Turns out that half of millennials and 75% of Gen Zers have left their jobs due to mental health reasons. I'd like to know how many millennials and Gen Zers, by the way, are on medication. I bet the numbers would be astounding.
0% of baby boomers have ever left a job for anything other than, you know.
Oh, they have how many baby boomers left a job for?
Don't bring the baby boomers into this.
Why is the millennial on the headline?
Because you're the biggest. Because
you leave for mental health reasons. You left a job for mental health reasons.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Why'd you leave Comcast?
So I could work with you.
Don't feel good.
Well, but it was too much.
What was too much is I was working 85 hours a week for a year and a half.
What time is it?
And I decided.
Because I'm hurting. Well, I don't feel good.
I decided to cut out.
There's a mental health issue in there somewhere.
Come on.
Exhaustion.
That's
Brandon being pummeled.
Mental exhaustion.
Would you acknowledge that more millennials have left their jobs for mental health reasons than other generations?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
What?
Well, there's good news. It looks like Gen Z has done it even more.
Yeah, Gen Z. Everything negative about millennials seems to be in greater participation in Gen Z.
Okay, I'm okay with that, but all the other stuff you guys are saying, no.
You know who's not mentioned in that article in that study?
It's fucking awesome. Gen Xers.
They don't care.
Awesome. We're so fucking
just roll with it.
We're just stuck in dead-end jobs.
Love Nirvana.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fine. Nothing gets us down.
Fucking bad.
Gen X
nothing.
Is chill.
Nothing gets us down, yet everything gets us down.
Gen Zers age 18 to 23. 75% of Gen Zers said they had quit a job because of conditions such as anxiety and depression. 75%.
Well, that's because they're doing multiple jobs.
75% of Gen Z would be interested in having multiple roles within one place of employment.
Maybe they just got quit one role.
Baby boomers, 10% have left due to mental health reasons.
Yeah, because you guys get jobs and you get to keep them for 40 years and get pensions.
What?
Yeah, that's
who has a pension?
I'm just saying, that's what happens with all the baby boomers. You walk into Ford when you're 17 years old, and boom, you get a lifetime job.
The greatest generation never even knew what mental health was.
Exactly. Yeah, we didn't have any medication to help us.
I'm trying to think.
We had to suck it up.
I quit. I quit Burger King when I was 15 because they wanted me to work on Christmas.
Communicates in symbols.
That's mental health.
You couldn't the rest of us. That's not mental health. Words.
I was already working at Subway and I didn't feel like
you couldn't have made it through Subway without Circus Kirk's mom.
That's not true. I had it made in the shade at Subway because my cousin was the manager and the assistant manager was my other cousin.
So you partied?
So you had help?
I got an MIP.
Couldn't get it on your own?
I even got an MIP there and I didn't get fired. I got caught drinking at Subway, and I did not get fired.
Wow. Oh, you got caught drinking at Subway and didn't get fired?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off?
I was
cousins.
Really, I was really young. I was 14.
You got an MIP at 14?
I must have been 15.
What happened?
We were drinking, because when you're 14, you don't have 15, you don't have anywhere else to go. And so, hey, I got this key to Subway because I work here.
Cool.
Let's party there.
Now, did you pull it off many times before you got busted?
A couple times, but yeah. this particular time, someone's like, I'm going to go out the back door to have a cigarette. And I actually said, just have a cigarette here. Mm. Well, he walked outside right as a police officer was just randomly driving by.
What?
Yeah.
What time was this?
Sounds like a setup.
Three in the morning.
And how old was the person having the cigarette?
Oh, it didn't matter. Nobody 15. Was supposed to be there at 3 a.m.
Well, especially if it's a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Man, was everybody being so lucid at Subway? Why didn't Homeless Al just live in the back of the Subway?
Homeless Al had his own gig. He worked construction.
Oh, he did? I didn't know he worked.
Why didn't he get his own place then sooner?
Well, I think we had to get him that job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he perform well?
Homeless Al's an asshole.
Homeless Al is... a crazy story. It really is.
It's an ass.
We picked him up off the streets. We let him stay in the house for free. His only conditions were he had to go to church. He had to take out the garbage or something like that.
He had to go to church.
Yeah, he had to go to church with
really?
Us. That's how he ended up meeting us. He met us through a church event, and he said, "Hey, I'm sleeping by the AMP." And my dad said, "Not anymore. You're not. My son's got an open bed in his room."
Yeah,
because we had a foreign exchange student.
So much, you should marry him. Right?
We originally pumped or bummed to have Al in your room.
I was pretty bummed.
A roommate.
No, because I had just gotten my room back because I had to split it with a foreign exchange student from Germany, and he had just left. And then my dad's like, "I got this bed."
Who was a better roommate, foreign exchange student from Germany or Homeless Al? I mean, excluding how Homeless Al ended.
In retrospect,
just sharing a room, who was better?
You know what? In retrospect, I think it would be Homeless Al. Because Barron...
I had a feeling you were going to say that. I don't know why.
My foreign exchange student, Barron, he was a senior. I was in eighth grade. And it just... he didn't want anything to do with me because, you know, he was a senior.
So he's an arrogant...
I mean, he was
But
cool.
Homeless Al was a lot older. He wanted a lot to do with you.
But Homeless Al
Homeless
came
Al's
in.
A better mentor.
Homeless Al
He's
came
a party
in.
Mentor.
It's a germ thing. You wouldn't understand.
And Homeless Al wanted to watch wrestling. That was at the hype of the Raw versus WCW wars. It was great.
Homeless Al knew the zeitgeist better than the guy from Germany.
Homeless Al also, PlayStation 1 had like just come out and I didn't have it. So he would keep renting it over and over. So we would have a PlayStation. And I don't know, he was all right. He was fun. We had
it's like you lived in an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Homeless Al was
like
cool
the most recent one.
Until he stole some things from us and on his way out.
What'd he steal?
He stole a keyboard. He stole a bunch of money, you know.
Wait, a keyboard to play music?
Yeah, my dad had a whole studio when we grew up, all these different instruments. And so he picked a couple keyboards out and then went to the pawn shop.
I wish you'd get out of my life and shut up.
Also peed out the window?
Second floor window into the driveway.
Did you ever say this to your German exchange roommate?
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it.
I did. We used to get in fights because whenever he pissed me off, I was
hey,
a young kid.
You want American bastards? If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
When I was a kid and I didn't have a good comeback, I would just come back at Nazi. I would call Nazi stuff, and it was bad. I shouldn't have done it. I apologize.
You should be canceled.
I know, but...
he didn't like Nazis.
You should find
him. Like, if
on
he was
Twitter.
Winning an argument, I used to just be like, well, my grandpa whooped your ass in World War II or something like
yeah!
that.
Yeah! America!
And then he'd, you know, punch me a couple times, but...
You should find Barron on social media.
Well, that's the thing, is Barron, he came back to visit a couple times over the years, and he's a lot of fun, but the last time I was supposed to see him, 9/11 happened, and he wasn't able to fly over here. So...
It'd be cooler to find Homeless Al.
Yeah, and yell at
him. Trust me, I take great pride in finding people. It's kind of what I do here. You know, we find phone numbers for people. We find addresses. We're able to, you know, search for people. I'm really good at it. I do take great pride in that. But there's two people in this entire world I cannot find. One of them is a former best friend when I was a kid. The other one's Homeless Al. Homeless Al is off the map. You cannot find him.
You know he's dead.
He's homeless.
Did you ever say this to Homeless Al?
Hey, I said... Get out of my house!
Probably.
Get off of my property, Homeless Al. con man.
Anyway, this whole thing goes back to the point where when I was 15, I only quit jobs because of necessity or because of something better. I didn't quit jobs because I was mentally exhausted.
Well, maybe we have some people who have experienced millennials leaving jobs due to mental health reasons, and maybe they could email us. Drew@DrewAndMikePodcast.com. We could find out if there's anything to this story.
Actual audio of homeless Al at the McAfee house. This is crazy.
We don't got no goddamn fans. We don't need to fucking practice, Randy.
Who's Randy? Who,
we
Randy
don't need a draft manager neither. You motherfuckers.
Such an
y'all
awkward.
Y'all just a bunch of losers.
It's such a great
I'm
scene.
The only one sane son of a bitch here. Get the fuck out of my house now.
Not your house, Doyle. It's Linda's.
I'll whip the dog shit out of you, Vaughn. I will fucking kill you if you talk to me again. Now, all of you, get the fuck out now before I get too mad to turn back.
What about our instruments?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Come here, you little prick. Come here, you little fucking prick.
Guy's in a wheelchair.
Get out. All y'all. Now get the fuck out. Come on, you motherfuckers.
Maybe we should warn the Detroit School of Rock and Pop about Homeless Al in case
he shows up.
Don't want him to steal any instruments from them. As I mentioned, they provide exciting, motivating music lessons and experiences from Detroit's finest professional musicians. Looking for adults that are tired of practicing for no reason and want to start accomplishing their musical dreams. All ages, all skill levels. They'll take you from zero to hero at the Detroit School of Rock and Pop. And they listen to the show, too, so that's even cooler. 1-888-988-ROCK! 1-888-988-ROCK! Or visit online www.DetroitSchoolOfRockAndPop.com. Cool. And I'll mention 1964, the tribute, too. Again, if you want to get tickets to see this, well, considered the best Beatles tribute band by Rolling Stone, they're at the Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac, October the 18th. For more info and to get tickets, go to flagstarstrand.com or Ticketmaster and use promo code Drew. Drew for 25% off. So there you go. Nobody else is offering 25% off except me. What's I got to figure out what to bet on Brandon's My Bookie account this weekend. Well, Michigan's at Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know what the line is on that.
Well, Harbaugh said the offense is really
clicking,
in sync.
They're hitting their stride.
Yeah. Wisconsin is 10.5 point favorites to MSU.
Oh, Wisconsin's favored by 10.5?
ML's going to that game.
Is he? Yeah. How's he doing?
Good.
You missing the podcast?
Yeah, every day.
Are they making progress over there?
No. No. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Is there any new definitive complaint or issue?
No. No, it's just there's no, well, it's crazy. I just don't see anybody budging over there.
Nice manager.
Looks like the Packers are 4-point favorites.
Ooh, I like that bet. The Lions one. Getting four?
Yeah.
Against Green Bay? Or,
oh, on Monday night.
Or yeah. Green Bay
that's
giving
right.
it up.
Anybody know who the Hokies are playing?
That's your job. We know the Hokies.
I don't know, because you seem to be looking at the point spreads.
Yeah, the Hokies are playing Rhode Island.
Oh, God, that
oh,
great
big game.
Ooh. Michigan's favored by 22.5.
Bowling Green versus Toledo. That's a big rivalry.
It is.
Ooh.
Battle of US 23.
Don't belittle my school.
Why are we playing Rhode
Who's
Island?
ITT Tech playing this week?
Baylor.
It's not the same. Okay. Dare you. How dare you?
See, Patrick Levy is so successful with his parlays. Do you know he's in celebrity net worth?
He is. Oh, wow. I'm not surprised.
From his parlay victories.
How come the parlay didn't work last week?
I don't know. Patrick, what are your picks this week? You better pick yourself up. Or some people are going to start saying that you're not always winning on football gambling.
It's crazy.
Ooh, Patty's so moist.
Ew.
Trudy, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't really know. I don't have a plan.
There's no D-related activity?
The D-related activity is, like, next week. So we're going to dinner somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No special plans?
No special plans.
Big dinner tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
I forgot about
that's
that.
That's what we're doing. That's why I have amnesia. I forgot about that, yeah.
Our Friday night dinner. I would have missed it, Brandon. Thanks.
Yeah.
Who's going to be...
At Mesa Tacos and Tequilas.
Their zesty Mexican margaritas and bean burritos will have you heading south of the border. Adios, everyone.
Has Matt been able to cancel Mackinac yet?
No, it doesn't look like it.
Really?
So who's coming instead of him?
So many
then?
Great ideas for
who's
them.
Who's taking his place?
That's the girl that doesn't listen.
Jennifer?
She can't make it. You know what, though? She's going to start listening. I talked to her today.
So are we picking another person?
I tried calling the people at Zot, a.k.a. Steve, before the show, but he was in a very important meeting, he said.
Wow.
So I guess we could.
What's that all about? The Masway suit?
Yeah, I'm in a meeting right now, so I can't talk.
People are going to think that's a thing, unless it is a
thing.
Oh,
it's not a thing. Oh, okay. I'm kidding.
The Masway suit. Masway V Zod.
Sounds pretty intense.
That should be a podcast.
Well, yeah, we ought to have another. There should be somebody else.
Okay.
Can we pick a fake winner at least?
Is that a violation of rules?
No, I'm kidding.
Can we just, you know, pick somebody at rando and?
I'm gonna text Steve.
Well, I was gonna call him when we were done.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a good one. Brief heads up.
So, who are the people that are going to be there, though? I'm excited to find out who they are.
Me.
Amy.
Yeah.
And Mike, I believe.
Oh. Her husband, Mike.
No, Mike. Mike's the other winner. They each get to. I didn't ask for their plus ones.
I see.
There's no tickets they need.
We don't know that they're married or.
I didn't Facebook
otherwise,
stalk them.
Or have,
wow, that's
if they don't have a significant other, doesn't matter.
They can bring whoever they want.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
Okay, I sent
Blue Oyster Cult is this weekend.
We got to lay down some ground rules. When we wind up working the same broad, no eye contact between the two of us.
Wait, what?
And they're going to encourage us to explore each other's bodies.
What?
And that's a hard no for me.
Hard no.
BOC is at Andiamo's, aren't they?
Yeah.
How big is that Andiamo's?
It's, let's see, what? How many? They're tables, and I
that's
think...
That's a small venue for
it is
BOC.
It's fairly intimate.
I didn't realize they were doing rock shows there, but they had the Guess Who there?
Yeah. I saw
big...
Kansas there as a passenger from...
Kansas! Wait,
not
Judy,
see Kansas.
What were you a passenger of?
My friend Linda wanted to go see Kansas.
Are you still friends? Jeez.
Yeah, we are, but...
She must be a huge Kansas fan.
I don't know. I think it was Kansas just, you know...
That always
kind
of freaks me out when somebody's a huge fan of a band that I
don't understand.
Why anyone's a fan of.
Yeah,
like this, Carry On My Wayward Son... Like, I hear that open, and that's the quickest I'll hit the button.
When
possibly,
Randy Marsh
unless
is,
it's the Billy Squire intro.
When Randy Marsh is playing this on Guitar Hero, it's pretty fucking cool.
They thought they were so cool with that that album cover, too, right?
Yeah.
Dust in the
Wind's a good song, I acknowledge, but. What else? What other hits do they have besides Carry On My Wayward Son? And
I don't remember. It was kind of a blur. And all I could do is fixate on the fiddle players.
There he is. That's the only
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high.
Trudy, this is, did you say Linda?
Yeah, Linda.
She really likes Kansas that much.
Yeah, she did. She actually is.
Does she like, to the point of no return?
K-N-O-W.
She likes bands that yell at her.
K-N-O-W. Isn't that how it's
yes,
spelled?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, is she a Styx fan?
No, I don't think so.
I think Styx and Kansas, I think there's some symmetry there.
Oh, the Venn diagram's basically a circle.
Yes, yes.
Everybody fits inside.
I think the sound is in the same league.
Similar, yeah. Why was he singing that way?
Did you comment on the fact that maybe you weren't that excited about going to see Kansas?
I better said I wasn't all that big a fan. I think there was a backstage component as well.
Oh, great.
Whoa, you met Kansas? Trudy, you didn't tell me this. Did you have any idea who you were meeting?
No.
Is there a picture?
No. Oh, no. No, there might be, but I don't know.
Pittsburgh, Kansas. Hello.
How geeked was Linda to meet Kansas?
She was, you know, pretty geeked. She's one of those people who has a good time wherever she goes. She works with Alice Cooper.
What?
Yeah.
What does she do for
on
him?
On his show, yeah.
His radio show?
No, on his like, tour.
Seriously?
Tour with him,
she likes
And she lives here?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Are you trying to redeem Linda for her love of Kansas?
It worked.
Linda's a lot of fun. She really is. She was.
I mean, you make it sound like anyone could have been playing it on the albums, and she would have wanted to go because she has fun wherever she goes. It has nothing to do with Kansas.
Sometimes I go if I don't have anything to do, and they drive, and it's like, whatever, I'll be a passenger in this.
To me, how long ago was this?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago.
This has been a long-held secret that you met the band Kansas.
This is the beginning of Trudy Never Says No, too, right?
That's definitely on the list.
We also went to see Miles Kennedy. That was pretty good.
Oh, well, that's... I can understand that. Yeah. Linda also likes Miles Kennedy a lot?
Linda
or was
loves
that
Miles
just
Kennedy.
A fun place to be?
No, she likes Miles Kennedy. Well, it was Slash and Miles Kennedy, so it was a really good
Where
show.
Was that show?
It was up at Mohican Sun or one of the casinos.
Slash! You went all the way to Mohican Sun?
She drove. I was a passenger. Stayed overnight.
You stayed overnight? Okay.
Stayed overnight.
Did you gamble?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. BOC at Andiamos, that sounded so weird to me, but the guy that was going was really pumped. And I said, because he said Blue Oyster Cult at Andiamos, I just was like question marks over my head, and I said, wow, you're a big BOC fan. He's like, huh?
Like,
wait, you don't know what BOC is and you're going to see Blue Oyster Cult?
Oh, didn't know it was called BOC.
I don't think he did.
Really?
I think he might have been a poser.
I'm like that very angry BOC fan that listens to us. Remember? He used to call the boner line.
Oh, yeah.
He's so mad.
All
about
the
that.
Time, yeah.
Oh,
really?
Oh, boy.
You know what? I
don't know why.
I loved their song Godzilla. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was such a good song. Especially when they brought the high tension lines down.
Well, why don't you get Linda to take you to the show? You like it so much? Does Linda need to drive? Is she a control freak that needs to drive?
She doesn't drink, so.
Oh, really?
Perfect.
That's
great. Well, Linda is fascinating. I assume because she liked to have so much fun that she probably had a few drinks, too.
Doesn't need to drink to have fun.
Oh. And Dee has announced that she's gotten us some Elton John tickets, so we're going to
see. What?
Oh!
Already? They haven't even gone on sale yet.
I know.
Well, Can she get me some?
Dee is always ahead of the curve.
So I'm serious.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's a good
show. He's only going to come back like 4 or 5 times after this one.
I know. This retirement is really laughable.
Are you a little pissed that he's coming back?
Not really, no. I kind of like him for not being able to retire because I love Elton John. I mean, the idea that I might be able to see him again is great.
Isn't the reason why he's extending his tour that he does not want to go home?
No, he doesn't. He keeps saying that, but even when he first announced his tour, remember how he said, the kids are, 5 and 7 now, so when I get done with the tour, they'll be 8 and 10, and that's a perfect time to jump in and be their father. It's like, that sounds ridiculous. Why would you just skip 3 years? No, you want to be on the road all the time, and you know it. He loves performing. He can't give it up. I really don't think he can.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, I'm stunned at how many people are still out there. And you know it's not for the money in most cases. Paul McCartney doesn't need money. Bruce Springsteen doesn't need money. The Rolling Stones don't need money.
Well, and Ozzy is determined
Ozzy
to continue.
Ozzy doesn't need money.
He's 70, and he broke all those, those bones and stuff. Man. To the point where there was a rumor on the internet last week that he was about to die, so he had to get in a video and post it.
That's a rumor that has absolutely no substance.
I'm not dying.
Mm.
Yeah, bad shape.
Anything else
you ain't dead.
Significant going on in the area this weekend? Any big shows? Besides that BOC show, Trudy's so pumped about.
Not really.
Doug is taking people backstage to meet them. So,
hey.
Oh, Doug is?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. Well, Doug wouldn't miss BOC. Doug is out everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah,
drop your pants, turn your head, cough. The Doc of Rock has you by the balls.
He's nuts.
If you're not listening to the Doc of Rock, you're soft. Get hard. WLC.
For Detroiters, by Detroiters.
Not like a guy yelling at you to get hard.
I know. Well, that's what that guy did on the set with Demi Moore.
That's right. Yeah.
Put a boner on that.
Put a boner on that. That's what, who's get the coach that yelled at his own dick?
Oh, Barry Switzer. Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody got a dick?
That's such a great drop. I was going to mention that, of course, there was Maz's announcement that when I heard D's Nuts, mm-hmm. Gronk is going to be on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, great.
Is he doing his first broadcast? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it this weekend?
Sure.
Okay.
D's Nuts!
Who cares?
What
make a difference?
What was the basis for him yelling D's Nuts?
Do you want to see my balls?
You know, at Gronk, he's just a lovable meathead. He loves 69, and he loves D's Nuts.
You think the Spike King's pumped for his appearance on Fox?
Probably.
We never made contact with him after Antonio Brown.
What's up with Antonio Brown?
I wonder if his phone still works.
Filed his grievance. He's been working out, too. He's been posting videos and working
He's
out.
Been trying to get re-signed for this year. He wants the Patriots to re-sign.
Yeah, you're paying me anyway. It's like, I don't think they think they're paying you necessarily.
Exactly.
Can he do that with his class schedule?
Yeah, it's online.
Yeah, I think he can squeeze it in. I just have a feeling.
The online courses aren't on the weekend, Trudy.
Oh.
He just shows up
I didn't know
Sundays.
That. I did not know that.
The worst thing about Anthony Brown is that you know he'll be wildly posting when he graduates, and he'll probably show up and wear a cap and gown.
Yeah. Good for him.
Well, I mean, he was in college for a while, so he shouldn't be too many credits away.
He had 3 years. So, yeah, no, he shouldn't.
No, I mean, if there's ever a time to get to do it, now might as well be the time. Get those credits done while you're not playing.
And then join the XFL.
He might be able to play next year either in the XFL or the NFL.
Oh, that'd be so
great. So he could make some more money. But by the time he's done with his career, he'll have his degree, which will be good for him.
If you're the XFL, wouldn't you just pay him a ton of money to play?
You know,
everybody would watch
it'll be
that.
A draw.
I think they'd watch a couple games.
He would die to have like 80 touchdowns, too.
The XFL draft, by the way, next Tuesday. Oh,
awesome. Did you see that the Lions receiver, was it Ryan Boykin? Ryan Broyles. Ryan Broyles
he's in the XFL
has
draft.
Applied to be in the XFL draft.
Do his knees still work?
He hasn't played.
Thing with him.
The Lions cut him 4 years ago.
Yeah, but remember he blew out like all his knees.
I know. He had ACL like three times.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's a whole group of. There's a lot of people who've declared.
Anybody from Michigan?
Oh, I'm sure.
Just control find that Michigan.
Let's see.
Oh, wow. 20.
Connor
Cook's in the draft. That's pretty sweet, Drew.
Connor Cook. Curtis Drummond.
Oh, Berkeley Edwards. Braylon's brother. He's in the draft.
Berkeley Edwards? He never even played at Michigan.
Well, he played at Minnesota. Ty Isaac.
Did he play a lot at Minnesota? Trudy's
know.
Board.
And then he went to Central.
Is on the phone?
Keith Mumphrey
from State.
No, I was
Channing Stribling.
Wow.
I was thinking, I was trying to decide whether the Darko Milicic story was even relevant in this discussion.
What's going on with Darko Milicic?
Darko is now a kickboxer.
Yeah.
He is?
Oh, yeah. Kickboxing.
He's had a few fights already.
He looked like he was doing really well, too, because he has legs.
Oh, yeah, long legs.
Yeah, on the
long
guy
reach.
That was fighting. But then they also said he's an apple farmer. That sounded so nice.
Wow.
He went back home, and he became an apple farmer, and he's kickboxing.
I'm surprised he would be kickboxing. I mean, that's...
Yeah, here he is in action. Check this out. He's a big dude. Look how big he is! Oh!
Whoa! Why didn't he have a rebound like that? Oh my god!
Whoa, wow, he's killing this
guy. He's a wild puncher, man! He's so huge!
Yeah. What are his tats?
Boy, he's got some green blobs.
Yeah, what are his tats?
I see at least five huge green blobs. Trudy, nobody knows. It's just a green blob, isn't it? Yeah. Do you have any idea what those tattoos are?
I could not tell. Couldn't define them. I wonder if he got them because, you know, like Rashid influenced him or something like that when he was here. Or did people not talk to him? Wasn't he sort of ostracized?
No, I think his teammates were, you know, they knew he was just a dumb rookie. You remember he got his ears pierced during the playoffs and he had bandages on his ears? He knew he wasn't going to play anyway, but they were all kind of laughing at him.
Hey, going back to that XFL draft, Logan Tully Tillman is in that draft, which I don't know if that rings any bells to you, but he was the guy that Michigan kicked off because the Ann Arbor police were looking into him because he filmed the sex act and then sent it to a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
So he sounds perfect for the XFL.
These guys, though, that never did squat in college, did Berkeley Edwards really do well at Minnesota?
I don't know. I don't know what he did at Central either, because he went to Central last year.
By the way, I thought of a green blob that I would consider getting.
Oh, great.
Mags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because he's a handsome dog anyway. So even if you don't know him, it'd be a nice tattoo.
Where would you put it?
I don't massive tattoo.
And the colors too, white and brown. It wouldn't turn into a green blob, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Put it on a real hairy part of your body too, so the hair could be part of the tattoo.
I was thinking like my arm, dog. But my arms are hairy, as so many people like on Facebook.
He was a hairy dog. He was a very hairy dog.
How about just like this one?
Don't look.
Oh, funny. What is that thing?
That's Jabba the Hutt. I mean, Mags. What?
Oh, Mags.
That was mean, Brandon.
When I was working out, Matt acknowledged that he was babysitting his mom's dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, telling me that, you know, his mom has a very concerned. She's like me, overly paranoid about her dog. Maybe not overly. I won't say that. She might hear about it. Anyway, I said, well, bring the dog over and we'll videotape with Layla and see how she gets along with another dog. And I was like, oh boy, wouldn't my mom find out? He'd probably videotape it. And I'm like, yeah, we'd videotape it. I got to clear it with her first. Well, it's a young dog and she loves her dog.
What kind of dog?
I think it's a...
Is it a big dog?
No, it's a little dog.
Hey,
Didn't approve.
I know somebody who...
Well, we don't know. It was today.
Oh, okay.
Somebody who has a big weekend date in Denver, Colorado. Greta Thunberg.
Oh, is she doing a gig?
She hasn't gone to school yet. She's going to do a climate thing there.
What's going on?
I should be back in school.
Yeah, what's going on with her classes?
She's on Instagram.
Did she drop out?
Or Twitter, hyping her climate strikes that she's going to now.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that'll be a hit.
Sure.
Boy, it's amazing with the green blobs. I saw it was my dad's hometown as a kid, Galesburg, and I went there for his memorial. And because I saw the word Galesburg, it reminded me of the weekend we were there last year. And I could not believe the ages of people with green blobs. There were like 13-year-olds with these big green blobs.
Really?
There's a little white trash. Yeah, it's a little run. The city's gone through an awful lot, apparently.
Well, because basically, don't you need approval?
I don't. You're under 18. It's weird.
So that means the parents like, yep, do it.
Are you sure it's not a stick-on?
Oh no. There were green blobs everywhere. I mean, on these kids, because there was like a bunch of rides and stuff downtown at some event, and then I saw something recently. I think it was a clip of...
Wait, was that a carnival, you're saying?
It was like a carnival. Okay, we were just putzing around. Yeah, I saw a clip of, I want to say, was it a high school basketball team? Yeah, it was a high school basketball team. And there were green blobs.
There's kids out there. They love this stuff.
There were green blobs all over these guys, and they had to be 16, 17 years old.
Wow.
Cool.
I guess that's not a big deal.
They're going to the NBA,
home.
So it's totally normal.
But, I mean, if you're 16 and you come home with a big green blob, is that not a big deal anymore? I'm asking.
I guess not.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal if one of my two come home with a big green blob.
Where is this event? Are you
16.
Sure it's not, are you sure there's not, like, an airbrusher that's there that's airbrushing?
Oh, no. These were, no, everyone was going, oh, my God, look at all the tattoos on these kids. But this was a very, I don't want to discredit my dad's hometown, but it was kind of run down, a lot of empty storefronts and, you know. Yeah, it used to have a lot more people and there were
lower
jobs.
Socioeconomic.
Yeah, not a lot of jobs there.
Wow.
Kind of a tough gig. So the kids make up for it by getting tattoos, apparently.
How does that
I don't know.
Help?
I'm just really surprised.
Did you play this while you were driving through?
Hell yeah. Man. Hell yeah.
Sit on his lap. That big old Buick steers with
daddy.
I'll get you damn kids for this. You're all gonna die.
Yep, my dad's a big Illini fan, and he would be most pumped to see the Illini upset Michigan. But I'm sure they're big underdogs.
22 points.
22.
Yes, Daddy, I'm on my way.
Can Michigan even score 22?
I know. I was kind of wondering that. What do they have? 24 points
the
last 2 weeks
on the road. Yeah. No. No.
You got 10 against... Oh, they had 52 Rutgers. Against Rutgers. That's right. That vaunted Rutgers defense. Mm-hmm. When they showed off their speed and space. Yeah, boy.
So bad.
I know. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. Looking forward to seeing everybody tonight. at Mesa Tacos Tequilas. Well, our winners, that is. But anybody can come eat at Mesa. I mean, just saying. Go blue. Go green.
Somebody else told me they liked the burgers there.
The burger is really good.
I might get the Maz burger.
I may get the Maz burger. Yeah. Huh. I may have to get the Maz burger.
That just seems weird to go to...
I'm not getting it under protest of Maz.
What's up with Maz? Let's see, Maz. He sent me something.
Is it Batman related?
No. He wanted me to know that he got his flu shot. And that maybe I shouldn't call him an anti-vaxxer because he got his flu shot.
Oh. That's funny.
He would have loved South Park last night.
South Park last night?
Yep.
Randy making the $300,000 off his...
Well,
the whole anti-vax.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Angle.
Cartman was hilarious.
They rounded up all the kids and had an anti-vax catching contest.
Yeah, and they'd stick the needle in them. Except they couldn't get Cartman vaccinated.
No, he kept getting nude.
Yeah, he'd get nude and he'd put oil on himself and squeal like a pig. And nobody could catch him. That was a funny episode, I thought.
Huh.
Boy, right up our alley, that's for sure. So, like us on Facebook, please. Drew and Mike Show, at Drew Mike Podcast on Twitter. And, of course, rate us on Stitcher, iTunes, anywhere you can. Because we love getting love from you. We'll see ya.
Boom! Hot take!
From the makers of Troy Cologne comes Slash.
Slash.
Slash. Slash.
It's the son that says the rumors are so true.
Slash.
Oh, Slash!
For the black quarterback who wants to huddle
Slash.
In the nearest rest stop.
Come here, you black quarterback.
Sometimes you want your balls to hit that wide open receiver in the gyms, not on the numbers.
Slash!
That's when you need a squirt of Slash.
Slash!
A Slash necklace.
Slash.
Splash on Slash. A splash of Slash, por favor. Catch one in the chest. Throw some on your center's big fat ass.
Slash.
How about a splash of Slash between your cheeks?
Slash.
You're the quarterback because you like to toss and throw.
Slash.
You're the wide receiver when you feel like catching.
Slash.
And you run when you don't feel like being touched.
Slash.
You want to be tackled.
Slash.
Hard, please.
Slash.
Pile on, guys.
Slash.
Late hip, por favor. Rough this quarterback. I'm inbound. Hit me, big boys.
Slash.
I'll play with anyone at any position.
Be my field, Jeff.
I just want to play.
Slash.
There's no defense known to man that can stop Slash.
Slash
Cologne, only 10-10. Look for the black and gold bottle.
Slash.
Ready?
No,
set?
No.
Slash.
Ouch. Slash.
Flash.
Slash.
Slash.
Slash!
Slash! Slash.